everybody doing?
What?
Is stuff happening?
How everybody doing?
I don't believe them.
You don't think things are happening?
No.
All right.
You usually give us, like, warning that mics are hot and shit so that Pat doesn't say the things.
Yeah, you know those things that I say?
Oh. There's a lot going on in my brain right now, so I forgot to say that.
Usually you put up the webcam thing.
No, he hasn't done that.
No, that hasn't happened in a while, ever since he switched to OBS.
Really?
Yeah.
And since we've had zero crashes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true, too. Oh, what's this?
We just crashed.
Audio quality is underwater.
Oh, no.
Using the wrong microphone.
I'm just going to go over here and think about those things that I say.
All right. We'll work that out.
We'll work that out.
And then we'll start a podcast.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yep. So there was a power outage
in my head.
And
that blew up
all kinds of shit.
Yeah, all day we couldn't record.
Here we go. The HD webcam's microphone is on. You can
serious?
Fuck off.
Get the fuck out of here.
And the other HD webcam is on, so you can fuck off. And the only thing left is the good one.
They're all recording us.
And
record these nuts, HD webcam.
They're competing for our voices.
See what happens when Windows updates? Do you see what happens?
Wait, is it the power outage or is the Windows update?
The power outage
triggered
the Windows update.
All right.
Triggered it.
So it's better for everybody live. However, that doesn't give me confidence in Audacity. So I'm going to stop that.
Oh, no, you stop that.
And I'm
going to
start
that
new
off.
One. Like
I don't think
this.
Audacity can style switch from one mic to another.
You say that. I'm going to try it live.
No, but you just said you're not confident in it. Oh, my voice.
Yeah, you're right. It can't style switch. It's stuck in its styles.
Mortal Kombat Deception will not let you style switch.
Oh, man.
And nerf its own damage.
Oh, you've got some sexy rasp going on there, Matt.
I always do.
No, now you just got rid of it.
No, you're Vegas sick.
No, it's not my voice is just thrown out.
I'll have you know that it's called the Ebola virus. That's a thing.
That's not bad.
That's a thing for a while now.
That's not bad.
But you're booing.
You're mad you can't.
You're booing the joke for that you didn't come up with because you're mad you didn't come up with it.
Yeah. That's how it works.
All right.
Thomas Edisoning it. Edisoning it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. He's an American hero. Why can't you be?
Stomp these light bulbs.
Kill that elephant.
With the light bulb.
Oh, yeah. That totally happened.
Yeah, Thomas Edison was Balrog.
Before his time.
He literally created a false flag operation to kill elephants and blame it on Tesla because he said his current is not
Check
safe.
Out this AC current, how fucking bad it is. Look at what it's doing this
Edison
elephant.
Would have made a great, you know, addition to WWF in the Attitude Era.
He definitely
what
had.
What an amazing heel.
He had heel qualities Baldwin. And capabilities. I'll give him that much for sure. All right,
it's like
that is a corrected microphone. That is a corrected Audacity. Here we are. We're live. We're back.
Did
from
we start
Evo.
Our podcast today?
Our podcast has in fact started.
Why
we're
did we
going
start the podcast someone. Today?
Because we were on planes coming back from LAX, and
well, a fun thing is like, well, it was like, let's do it at 8 p.m. And I'm like, on Monday, and I'm like, cool, that sounds okay. Mm-hmm. And then I see him later that day. I'm like, so when you meant 8 p.m., do you mean 8 p.m. Eastern or 8 p.m. Pacific? And he was like, 8 p.m.? And I'm like, but you know that we're only going to, like, get home at, like, 7:30 and because of the time difference. And he's like, huh.
I did the calculations.
That would explain the really confusing series of messages.
Right,
it's okay. It's okay.
That I received. About
it doesn't
what
matter.
Time the podcast started.
It doesn't matter. We're here now.
You're here now. It's perfect.
At a brisk 10:20 a.m.
We should actually consider moving the podcast on Tuesdays to always catch the news we fucking miss
before we miss the news.
Unfortunately, most news was all like Evo announcements, which happens on a Sunday. So
thank goodness.
Well,
a lot of news announcements. I mean,
yeah, I suppose so. I guess really what matters is
what matters
is letting people know that. What was that?
Just very loud music coming through our walls. That's all.
Weird things are happening from the sides. Okay.
There's some kind of fucking festival.
Yeah.
It's been happening all week.
The festival of ruining the podcast.
Everywhere I go, traffic's blocked off.
I think it's because we're celebrating the fact that Montreal is older than Canada.
Yeah.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
It's super older than Canada. Mm.
375 is Montreal's years, but Canada is like 100 and something.
Mm. Yeah, it predates the country by a lot. That's by longer weird. Than the country has been alive.
Anyway, so first things first, disclaimers. Conspiracy. If you happen to be one of those folks that doesn't enjoy when we talk about fighting games,
oh boy.
That's all right. That's
oh boy.
Okay. There's no problems with that. We understand that the podcast is for all kinds of people, but we
today,
talk about
fuck
them
all of you.
Because we like them, and today's not your day. So if you really, seriously, actually don't enjoy that, and if it bores you, I'm sorry, but I might suggest you skip this one, because we have a lot of fucking podcast news to talk about, and that shit's almost all fighting game related.
Hey, do
and
you
that shit is really, really hype if you care about fighting games, but if you don't, that's all right. Move on. This ain't for you.
It's fighting games.
I like
week.
That escalation.
Man.
Are you
simple.
Kids, are you kids ready to go ape?
It's simple.
Or go geese.
There are 200 plus more episodes behind me and more coming in the future. But right now, it's about motherfucking fighting games. And that's what we're doing.
Right now, it's
hey,
about thuggery.
Fighting games are hip-hop.
Because listen, all right? Every year, there's a nice little escalation of news that happens. And Evo happens. And people are starting to bring their new...
I don't know.
They're bringing their announcements in. And they're timing them at Evo. It's been a thing. But... But that's what I'm trying to get to, obviously. So the point is that it's now getting to a point where fighting game E3 is happening.
Yeah.
Because Evo is more than just a tournament. It's becoming FightCon. And FightCon was one of the sickest
places to be. Was your idea that they stole.
I would have loved it. I would have loved it.
No, his idea was the FightCon.
Right, yeah. One of the sickest things it was, like, you know, pretty much being there, seeing even all the shit that wasn't announced, just chilling out, demos for new fighting games coming out that were, like, on the floor. There's so much stuff that, like, isn't really even hitting the presses right now that was there that is worth it. Fucking, it's all going down, so... Let's just get right into it, and very quickly.
Well, do we want to go through weeks very quickly first?
Yeah, we're gonna get through it very quickly, very very quickly. So, talk about non-Evo things that you did, Pat.
All right, so I did two things this week.
Didn't you die?
I did two things this week. Number one is I no-lifed the shit out of 14, but that's not really all that important because it's all just leveling up. Bullshit. The second thing is I have a message for everybody at home. This is a very important message that you should take to heart. You should eat all your fruits and vegetables and get enough fiber in your diet. Because if you don't, and you're an asshole like me, you may be racked with horrible, debilitating stomach pain, which is the second worst pain I've ever felt in my life. Number one being bone transplant in my face.
I thought you were going to say Virtua Fighter characters in DOA.
Yeah, I know. I was. That's number three. No, the third one isn't the Virtua Fighter characters in DOA.
It's dumb
people calling DOA the new Virtua Fighter.
How I do every week.
What may occur if you don't do these things is that these stomach pains may send you to the hospital, which after gallons and gallons of strange liquids and procedures performed, you may, in fact,
live again.
Told by a doctor that you are dying because you are literally full of shit.
Now you're saying it's not the gout.
I'm saying,
and you're saying
a doctor
it's not,
looked me in the eye and said, "Sir, you are full of shit."
And you're saying it's not the scurvy.
I did not get scurvy.
Okay, so it's something that's not those things. But how about fucking call it gout scurvy?
You used to classify it.
How about we just call it the fucking pirate disease that you got? Now that you're okay.
I didn't get
We can confirm you're
disease.
Okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
You got the fucking pirate disease.
No, that's not what happened.
Yarr!
That's a completely different thing.
Eat your fruits and veggies.
No, it's different.
I thought that was eating oranges or something.
I should have just said,
I don't know
eat
what I'm
your
talking
fiber.
About.
Oh,
eat
God.
More fiber in your diet.
Like fucking like Martin got it kicking in on the leg and shit.
Martin who?
The comedian, Martin.
Okay, just Martin, right.
As in Bad Boys Martin.
Yes, yes.
I mean, now that Lawrence, we're over with that Lawrence. Embarrassing thing.
Yeah, that would help me clarify who Martin is.
It's early.
Did you guys see Spider-Man last week?
Yes, I saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Talked about a bunch. Talked what are your thoughts it. On so the Homecomings?
It's pretty good.
It's very good.
Pretty good.
It's not like... it's not the best movie ever, obviously.
I'd give it a...
Yeah, no, that's what I would give it.
Yeah.
I would give it an 8. I liked it. It was very fun. A little dull, a little long in parts.
I'm envious and of... not envious. I've grown to like new little Spider-Man kid.
Yes.
And I like him the most of all of them. Mm-hmm. And I like him more than some of the grown-up comic book and cartoon Peters as well. Mm-hmm. He's very charming.
Is there a cartoon Peter you like more?
Okay, so everyone fucking... This is the wrong answer. I'm just going to say it's the wrong answer.
It's not the wrong answer if you believe it's the right answer.
But I don't mind the fucking mainframe Spider-Man that much. I don't mind mainframe Peter.
Well, wasn't he Neil Patrick Harris?
He was Neil Patrick Harris in high school, and he was all right.
I liked him.
For a series that was extremely short-lived.
Last long enough to make a big impression, but...
That's fine.
I don't like 80s Spider-Man.
The problems with that show were more than Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. But I don't like 80s Spider-Man. Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
The
one like in the late 80s, I don't like that guy that much.
Yeah.
He's kind of a dick.
I will say this is the first Marvel movie that I've seen that like the formula of serious joke has become like super obvious.
What do you mean?
More than Guardians. Like the particular rhythm they have with plot and humor to break tension is really, really, like, they do it over and over and over in this one. Like, particularly when he gets stuck in the vault, like I felt.
That's a good one.
That being said, Michael Keaton's the best.
Mm-hmm. The Birdman.
He's actually not the best until the... I guess twist of the movie happens.
Oh, the twist is so good.
This is something me and Willie talked about where I'm like, you're watching the movie and you just kind of go,
Keep it light.
So I know. Spider-Man goes, man, I hate that green guy that flies around. Sure hate him. And then Vulture's like, man, I can't stand that fucking guy in the red. Kill him one day.
Yeah.
And like up until this, 75% mark of the movie, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not going to be great. And then like the plot develops
they
and I'm
figure
like,
out a way
oh,
to tie
so
that
good.
Together in a way that
so
actually
good.
Matters and yeah. feels like interesting.
Exactly.
Also, Shocker's great.
Shocker's great. Shocker is also great.
Shocker gets
Don't forget Shocker.
Shocker gets the C-tier loser treatment he deserves.
And
it makes me happy.
And the whatchamacallit that also is there. Yes, the fact that it's not the Iron Man show, which a lot of people were concerned about. It ends up being okay in the end.
That shot of Spidey swinging Iron Man is super not in the movie at all.
It's not even in the movie. No. It's just there in the trailers.
The director had a thing where he's like, yeah, they just wanted a couple of shots for the trailer that they knew we were not going to use to throw people off the scent. Robert Downey Jr. filmed all his scenes in like 2 days.
Yeah, so really?
I heard that before I saw the movie, and I'm like, he's not in it at all.
And he made a bajillion dollars from
it
as well.
Wow.
How about that?
So if you want to see a good Iron Man, go look at Homecoming. Do not look at Tony Stark's face in Marvel Infinite.
Oh, man. I saw that.
Saw that?
He's fucking...
I thought
you
that
have, we have,
was...
We have to get... We have to get... Let's get through it.
All right. So,
because we'll never stop.
So
let's do this the right way so that we get to the point where not stopping is all right.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
Aside from giving myself the damage over time and watching Spider-Man and playing F-14, not much for me. How about you guys? Did you guys do anything over the weekend?
So, on the plane over to Evo, I played a bunch of
Monster Hunter.
Implosion.
I did as well. I got to the second.
Or rather, should I say,
world.
Implosion never give up.
I thought it was never lose hope.
Yeah, well, so we can see that up a little bit, but it's never lose hope. You're right. And I'm really enjoying that, and I can't believe that was a mobile game. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Because that shit was really fun.
We only learned
really
that
cool.
after we had done the video for it, which I think goes up to...
Not today, but it's coming up soon. And it's a mecha action game on the Switch, and It's just kind of a little out of nowhere, but very cool. Surprisingly,
it's very Chinese.
You're very Chinese.
That the like you can see where it is and the skill trees and the localization.
But you got a light and a heavy attack, and when you alternate them, you get different strings out of it. So God bless.
God bless you.
You know,
Implosion.
And I mean, that's a good time. You'll see more of that soon. But like, if you haven't heard of it, check it out. It's pretty and fucking awesome.
Where did you get to in it though? Just like,
past at least like a little bit past the first major boss.
Right. I finished the second or third boss. I got to we're talking about like, man, I hope this game has different environments. You get to a different environment.
Okay.
I'm like, nice.
Cool. Voice acting is a mixture of what the fuck
and
you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Some actors are more competent than others. That's what happens.
That's a real life thing.
It feels like main character is kind of just like, I want to be in the game, you know, a little bit, but that's okay. The game's really good. And I finally, finished off, the comic book, We Stand on Guard. That is really weird and fun and cool, as it's the Brian K. Vaughan's take on America versus Canada
with Max,
with giant robots. We're fighting a war for water, and
it's our water. Get away from our water.
Basically, yeah. And it's a really fucking, it's pretty brutal. And it makes you, it's one of those things where you finish it and it's a one take and the book's done after it's done.
Yeah.
And when you finish
like
it,
six issues. Yeah.
You have a little moment of man, fuck Americans, man. You know, like, you have a little bit of that, but then you're kind of like, no, wait, it's a comic book.
Good job writing this, American man, Brian K. Vaughan.
We're coming back from, and the thing is, there's definitely an over, like, played hand of, like, there's a fucking broken Tim Hortons sign, sticking out of the rubble. Literally Tim Hortons sign sticking out of the rubble.
If you destroy, if America destroyed all the Tim Hortons, Canada would effectively shut down.
You know, and whatnot. But it's really
I'm drinking Tim Hortons coffee right now.
I know. But they do all that, and then they have all those little trivia bits and whatnot to go like, look Canada, you know. But
that's such
it plays it so thick sometimes.
Robots have to be in the mix because like that's the only way Canada would stand a fucking chance. Just because when I was talking to Max was like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah. So you know, there's more people living in your state than in our entire country, and he's like, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, how would we even get close to winning?
But, it was definitely... But the thing is, you know, it's the big American robots coming up to our fucking winters.
Yeah,
and But we know how to figure that shit out, because you're on our
terrain
turf.
Terrain advantage.
You guys test it out in Nebraska or some shit, those states that have, like, horrible biting winters.
Yeah.
Why can you do that,
That's the thing. People don't know how to survive like
Because they're
do.
Like me. They thought, oh, we throw enough bodies at the problem, we're going to fucking win.
Yeah. But our country's really big.
It's a fun read.
It's a very big country.
And it does a little. There's even a little small episode of Black Mirror in the middle of it.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where they're just like, we've invented new ways to torture people.
Oh,
neat.
Let's use that technology.
No, I don't
want. All right, that's cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. So whatever. That's what I did on the planet.
Well,
I had a good time.
What the fuck is that?
Did you miss out on the new mousepad hotness?
Yeah, the greatest.
The greatness. The greatest mousepad of all time.
Oh, that because I saw you poking at it and was like,
guess what? I saw him poking at it last week and I was like, what is
It's my Zarya boob mouse without any
Maybe
boobs
one day
on
you'll
it.
Sorry, a mousepad with a good skin.
Your Zarya bicep.
Yes, mousepad. There's no boobs on this mouse.
Nope.
She lifts.
Nope.
What did you do besides Evo?
Really quickly, I want to talk about last week, but we had to talk about how Arc System has different shading techniques so Plague could understand how Dragon Ball Z Fighters is made.
Mm.
But that's fine. Remember we got a question a few weeks ago about someone asking, man, have you seen the movie A Cure for Wellness?
Yes.
And I was like, no, I haven't seen that yet. And that's the movie
by... Did you
track
it down?
Yes, I did. That's the movie by Gore Verbinski, who, like, when the Bioshock movie got canceled and just taken away from him, he's like, well, I have all this fucking sets and some like a vague script, I'm gonna do a fucking thing. So A Cure for Wellness is a bad, not scary Shutter Island. And you like Shutter Island, yeah?
Yeah, but not because it's scary.
No,
extremely like Shutter Island,
not because it's scary. I'm just saying that this is just a Similar. Like, even I am going to a crazy retreat where there's a bunch of people in an insane asylum, but it's millionaires that are pulled all over the world that are told, you're sick. Come to the Cure for Wellness place or whatever, and we'll just make you feel better. So they quit their corporate jobs and they just stay there. And all the corporations like, what the fuck? Where'd you go? Your stocks are crashing. Mm. You're not back yet from your weekend retreat. Mm. So the guy that played Norman Osborn in the Amazing Spider-Man movies, he looks like – guess what? He looks like Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. He's got bright blue eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
He's the fucking sharp-ass like executive that's sent to go retrieve our CEO. And just – it's a
really weird setup.
It's a – go and get him back. Bring him back to the company. And he tries – hey, where is he? Oh, I don't know where he is right now. He's in the thing. Okay. I'm going to drive off in a huff and leave in a taxi. Oh, it crashed. Oh, my leg's broken. I'm in the insane asylum now. Got to stay here. Drink the water. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll drink your water. And then just – he sees shit and it just – almost 3 hours long of like get to the point, what's the fucking twist, and it just goes on and on and on, and like it wasn't scary. Like Shutter Island has moments of tenseness. Like, you remember he's in Shutter Island, he's walking by a pile of burnt bodies.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
a dream sequence. Oh, it's yeah, like, ooh, creepy. And it just goes on and on. It has a bunch of eel iconography. There's eels everywhere. The eels are ancient, and then they fight some stupid monster at the end. It was really disappointing, considering I liked the trailer when I saw it, and like it's by the guy that directed the first Ring remake.
Didn't expect you to say they fight a stupid monster, but that's like the dumbest.
I don't know where that came from.
Like a monster man or something.
What if at the end of Shutter Island, Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't here. Like, I was the monster all along. Instead, he was like,
no,
I'm a monster.
See, they kind of do that ending two or three times, and then the guy fucking like Guilty Gear bursts out of I'm the monster and goes, no, there's a monster mash right there.
Gold burst.
Punches the monster mash in the face.
In his graveyard smash?
Yeah, exactly. So I was really disappointed with it. And something else I was unfortunately really disappointed with, and I hate to say this, is saw Baby Driver as well.
I am not
going to say it's a bad movie. It's a quite well-made movie, but it's my like bottom tier of Edgar Wright films.
God damn. I'm sorry to disappoint you in the middle of your disappointment.
What's
but,
my disappointment?
I think the audio is not still fully fixed. So,
I'm fully disappointed.
In order to do that,
you can be fully erect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully disappointed.
Yeah. So, you know, there's only so much you can fix while it's hot. But I think this requires an OBS restart at the very least.
So let's turn off the hot.
So we were just talking about how much OBS is working until. Yeah.
Matt, why'd you do that?
All right. So let's try to get this going. Be right back, guys. That's it. We're back. And for future reference.
For
future reference,
kind of audio work.
You've experienced this before, Pat?
Yes.
So
when Windows does its updates and it does a major update, it will occasionally, just decide to return everything that you turned off back on, including the noise. Was it suppression?
Noise suppression
feature in Windows recording devices.
Yep.
So you right click on your little sound icon on the bottom right, then you go to enhancements. On your fucking recording device of choice, you turn noise suppression the fuck off.
Because
for some reason, someone decided to screw on a fucking suppression muzzle
onto the microphone.
On our fucking microphone guns.
Well, because using my little backup, I was able to hear it to test
it.
I heard it sounded great. So it's like, okay, it's got to be
on the
fucking Windows level. And yeah, that's what it is. It's Windows changing bullshit settings after an update happens. Because we need updates, guys. You need them. Give them a shot.
We probably do need a few of them, but not all of them.
You can't say no.
You tried. Going back to
a syringe is really just an update.
Going back to where it was.
Fucking what, bro? Jeez.
Baby Driver. Willie, I want you to see this too, so I'm not crazy.
I do want to go see Baby Driver.
Because I was hyped up as shit to see this. Like, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be the best movie of the summer. And usually when I say that and I see a movie and it's good, I'm like, that totally delivered. Like, usually when I think a movie is going to be great because I know it's going to be for me, I'll watch it, I'll be really happy with it, and I'll be fine. it doesn't really work where I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, aw. Usually I'll go, yeah, this movie is probably going to suck. And then I'm surprised.
So I haven't I haven't watched any trailers for it. So I'm still cold, which I like. Mm. The only thing I know about it is, besides that it's Edgar Wright, is that it has musical synced direction. So everything that happens in the movie happens to a rhythm with the music.
Everything in three scenes.
Oh.
Ah.
It's like, so here's my thing. This movie is completely style over substance. It has like really paper thin characters, really like wacky motivations of characters and villains that just change for no reason. Baby Rider or whatever. Baby himself is meant to be the protagonist, but he does something that makes him a villain, and then the movie's kind of like, cheer him on. And then a guy that was previously, like, whatever, it was just like a sloppy script for Edgar Wright, and then someone's like, well, this is the first movie he wrote without anyone's help. Like, usually it's Simon Pegg mm-hmm. or Nick Frost that are, like, with the Cornetto trilogy, or Scott Pilgrim is based on a thing. You know, so this is his first script where it's like not really, it's all him. And like, it wasn't all that funny. It wasn't all that clever. It was like someone trying to be an early Guy Ritchie movie, you know,
okay.
A little bit quirkier, like a quirkier, Snatch or something. And the scenes with the musical stuff, like they were cool. They last about like 15 seconds. The car chases are really nicely done, but in the middle between that, I'm like, I'm not really, I'm just watching a generic kind of crime movie that it just didn't blow me away. And I was really sad because I'm happy because it's literally Edgar Wright's most financially successful movie.
Oh, it's like making a ton of money?
I wouldn't say a ton, but like...
Compared
to what it costs.
It's actually making money.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's fantastic. I hope he can like get more movies greenlit. But like, would I rather have this or would rather have the Edgar Wright directed Ant-Man? I'll go to the latter every time.
I'm missing that.
Yeah.
I'm missing that.
And the reason he made this movie is because, holy shit, since I walked on Ant-Man, tons of my crew that I use don't get work. So I need to make a movie quick.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, yeah, you sure made a movie kind of quick. But that's not to say it's all bad. Like, if someone out there enjoys it, some people on Twitter were like, no, I loved it. I'm like, good. I'm fantastic that you loved it. I unfortunately was really disappointed with it.
Because you want what's best for Edgar Wright.
No, because what's best for him is that, like, the movie made money and hopefully he can make more stuff.
So go back to working with Simon Pegg or Mark Frost. Not Mark Frost. Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Those couldn't be more different.
Yeah, and I played a bunch of ARMS on the plane because I got the Max Brass update. And he's fine. He's fun. And
what's
all
his gimmick?
His gimmick is he's kind of like Springman, where when he gets lower on life, like all of his attacks are permanently charged up.
Mm-hmm.
And also when he's in mid charge, like when one fist is 50% ready to charge, any incoming hits get blasted away by an automatic parry or something. Mm-hmm. It was something like really minute that I couldn't really. The real thing I play in the update is the headlock mode. Do you guys know about this mode?
Nope.
Wait, isn't headlock that fucking freakazoid super boss?
Terminator skull.
Yeah.
With like, so headlock mode, it's called headlock scramble. Headlock's mask appears in the center and you got to fight for it. And you become headlock and you get six arms. And if your opponent gets you a knockdown, then the mask falls off, and then you both scramble
like a little juggernaut.
You become the mega boss for a bit.
Right.
It was really, really fun. You can play that in anything. And I also like, I'm not sure if you saw, Willie, but Snake Park was patched out of ranked mode. So Kid Cobra's stage was just pulled out of ranked online play.
Banned. All right. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It's in all the other modes.
Well, because there's just so much.
I remember Ego Raptor saying, hey, dear Nintendo, I love ARMS. Please patch out this stage. Thanks. Bye.
There's so much happening outside of the actual ARMS match you're trying to focus on in that stage.
And like the other stage, like I think it is a little more busy than it needs to be with the platforms, but whatever. I had a good time playing that. And also the just over Evo weekend, the game I'm working on, the Takeover, kind of reached like a beta. It's content complete, more or less. There's a few cutscenes I have to put. It's kind of on me now.
Yep.
But in terms of bosses and all the stages, they're there. So I was playing that late last night, trying to beat it. Because now there's no more cheat codes either, that the secret cheat codes that only I, the secret moves that only I knew, that got me through it. Now I'm like, oh my god, this is way harder than I thought, because I've been playing with Infinite Life for like the last 6 months, and I'm like, oh god, I'm so shit. But yeah, that was really fun. That's a cool milestone, and yeah, I guess that's it for me.
Cool. So let's move into the next segment of our podcast.
Go see Baby Driver, everybody.
A word from our sponsors.
Support it.
Ooh.
Right. This week, the podcast is sponsored by
Baby Driver.
No.
No.
Loot Crate.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Do babies drive loot crates to your door?
They can.
They will in the future.
And eventually they will. And when they do, what's coming in that loot crate? Help me out so that I'm...
it's like 10:30 in the morning. Give me a break.
I know. I always do this. I'm trying to get some variety going. Help me out.
$20 worth of merch a month.
And
at the very least,
let's try this again.
Yes,
loot crate. Oh my god, really? Am I the only one that can?
I did.
Have
one.
You not heard enough of these? You don't know how it
one.
Goes.
I said $20
in the morning. Give me a break.
Yeah, it I is. Did. Guess what time it is for me too?
It's time for you to read the ad.
Wait, what? No, it's actually like 3 p.m. for us.
You know what, guys? July's loot crate is coming in with an animation theme. And that animation theme means you're getting good stuff from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, Rick and Morty, and of course, one lucky subscriber gets in on that mega crate.
I've heard about that mega crate.
Now, what is the loot crate? The loot crate is the box that comes to your door every single month, full of all kinds of good gear. It's got... You got your t-shirts that you're going to be getting, that are switching up and collecting. And I see the different loot crate shirts around. I saw some at Evo. I saw some at the cons that I went to this summer. And I'm like, that guy's getting his box. I know what the deal is.
Thanks to you.
That's it. And of course, if you get in on this month's crate, that means you signed up before the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, because that's the cutoff point. If you want to get in on that animation theme, you better do so before the 19th. So that is tomorrow. Oh, my God. You have
it
a day. If not, then you're getting in on, who knows, the mystery theme of the next month. So you want to head on down to lootcrate.com/super. Enter the promo code super. Save $3 on that new subscription, guys. And if you want to check out the other stuff they got going on, there's lootware and loot pets and all that fun stuff as well. So lootcrate.com/super. What's the code?
Super.
Super.
There you go.
See, we helped.
I cannot even read that.
That's fine.
I can't even see the screen.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
Thank you. Nailed it.
Ooh. Okay.
Super, super solid.
You know what? You know how I've never missed a podcast?
That's right.
I really want to, just to see what happens.
Well, first, we wouldn't do any ad reads because we'd forget that they exist.
There's that.
Well, yeah.
Hey, guys.
I remember sometimes.
Hey, guys. Evolution 2017 was the shit.
Did they finally grow legs this year?
That's not bad. They evolve, Wooly.
Oh.
Did they start walking on land?
Well, you know, they did actually play the theme song that I was hoping to hear, the Evolve theme song featuring Yipes rapping and Mike Ross on guitar.
I thought you were going to say from the video game Evolve.
I had no idea Mike Ross could play guitar.
He could play guitar, and he does on that track. Go check it out. It's
he just 100
it's featuring Zaid Tabani, a.k.a. the Red Rapper.
Right. It's been a while.
All right. So there's a lot going on. I mean, personally, when it comes to Evo,
you hate it. I'm tired of it.
Like the personal experience I can give is
get your life preservers on.
You know, just so many people that you meet. If you want to give your shout outs, it's just everyone. Shout out. It's like it's crazy. But I did. You know, when the first thing I did when I landed was I did our MTLSF tradition, which is put 100 on black on roulette and see what happens. See where the weekend takes you.
At the start, right?
As soon as you walk in.
How'd it go?
I got 200 out of it.
Hey.
Right? And I'm like, that's
smart
a good sign.
Gambling.
That's a good sign. So we then we took that, set the pace, and walked out. You know, I one of Montreal's strongest players is this new Armica player named Fluxwaves. I helped him out getting here, and he came in and just like did some fucking serious damage. It was awesome. He made an impression at the Red Bull Proving Grounds games, mm-hmm. and he went out to Haitani and Daigo, and that's not a bad like series of gods to knock you out of the tournament.
Mm-hmm. So that means he's almost as good as you then.
And, one day,
and it's almost as if I sicked my revenge on Daigo because it, but it didn't. It's not
wait,
complete.
Did you punch him?
But it's not complete because the first round he played against Daigo, he command grabbed him six times for a, basically what was like there was no round outside of getting command grabbed in the corner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he got stunned and took it out. And then it went. The whole set went to the final game, final hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Daigo took it, you know? But I'm like, I feel like if I'm going to get my revenge, it's going to be by saying go.
That's so fucking desperate.
but for what it's worth.
Hey, Dio, you look pretty weak. You don't look like you could beat any of those guys at all. Yeah, says Dio, I'm going to send assassins because I'm a weak-ass bitch and can't do it myself.
But I was pretty proud of him. He had a really good showing. I got to meet up with Octopimp. We did our first to five.
Who won that?
That will end up on Wooly Versus.
Who won that?
People will see the results.
Where can they see this?
On Wooly Versus.
Can you tell me after the podcast is over?
I can.
Okay.
But I won't.
Oh, okay. Hey, you find all those Funko Pops before you leave?
I did.
No, he didn't.
This is my favorite.
I don't know where that... Was that literally out of nowhere?
That was out of nowhere.
That was kind of out of
because
nowhere.
At 1 p.m. you will see results on Wooly Versus as well. Yes.
For the Funko Pops?
Yeah, literally today.
Oh, yeah?
Found all 20?
Literally today. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So.
We'll see. I think he bought a Funko Pop and hid it in his own place and then look, I found it. It's over, everyone. I'm done.
No, that question threw me because it literally is, yeah, it's going down.
Okay.
But besides that, back to Evo. So that was really cool. Of course, we got to hang out with Max and the Yo Video Games crew.
There's some hangouts.
Yes.
People got hung out.
Some big hungouts. we crashed their panel and had a good time. But let's talk.
The weakest crashing ever.
And of course, it's just walking by and seeing Esteban and Filthy Rich and all the cool people was great. But let's talk about the games that were on the floor outside of the tournament.
Because we got to
take a look at.
That really blew me away. Because
go ahead.
I was going to say really quickly that I'm sure this has been happening at a couple Evos, but like I never seen it advertised that much. Where like there's some games that you can play like in a little indie section or something, or has that not been a thing before?
That's always been a thing, but it's becoming a bigger and bigger thing each year.
It super was this time for sure.
This time it was pretty huge. We for the most part, like you kind of enjoyed Vegas. With your lovely wife, and we kind of, I did my FGC thing, but we met up at moments and did things, and one of those things...
we played some games!
And one of those things was...
Omen of Sorrow!
Getting in on Omen of fucking Sorrow, bro.
Take us through the systems as far as you know what they are.
All right, listen.
Pat, have you heard anything about this?
Not.
And oh, it's amazing.
If you remember...
Your fucking faces is enticing me.
In case you might have forgotten, Omen of Sorrow is that horror-themed monster fighter.
Oh, wow! All right.
With Dr. Jekyll
Tell
and
me
Mr.
What you
Hyde.
Know about this stupid
and
shit.
And the werewolf and the... Hey, man! That was a good time... Right? Dev sat us down, walked us through it. We played a couple matches. Let me tell you what's going on.
What's going on?
You can cancel special moves into special moves.
Oh, man!
You know what that is?
That's Street Fighter the movie.
That's a bold cancel.
Oh,
they're called bold cancels.
When you cancel your specials into specials, you better be sure you want to do it because it's bold. Why is it bold? Because it detracts from... God damn it, I forgot the name of the meter.
Your doom meter.
It's a
curse.
It's an energy meter, like whatever, a curse meter, I think, yes. And when you detract it all the way to the bottom, you become doomed.
Doomed?
When you're doomed, you spend the next couple of seconds, basically everything hurts more, you get blown up, every counter hit is really hard. It's like...
Yeah, this purple gas around.
It's like Danger Time in Guilty Gear Xrd.
Okay. Yeah.
But for one character, right? And there's the opposite where you fill up the doom meter going the opposite way, and it becomes like a like an exaltation almost, like in the Darkest Dungeon. Mm-hmm. So that shit was going down.
What, there was one other system where I don't know why it happened, but sometimes you'll just regain half your life.
You'll start gaining health back, and
for
the dev did explain what it was, and I don't remember what he said fully, but there's mechanics that give you your health back as well. So
like half a bar.
Omen of fucking sorrow.
So like, as much as we're making fun of it, it was actually a lot more solid and kind of fun. Like, it still needs work. It needs a lot of work, but it was still kind of fun. It felt like a little like a jankier Injustice 1.
Yeah.
So not to say that it was bad. The camera angle also
very accurate.
And it has like a trait too. The people have logos on either side.
Yep. You also have an icon that gives you a free
timer.
Super. There's a free super in your eye when your icon is flashing.
And it's a 6-button game, but you have 4 normals, 1 dedicated throw button, 1 EX button.
Yeah. Meter burn, which is also very Injustice.
Yes. Yeah, very Injustice.
So anyway.
What's the roster look like?
I mean, there's Werewolf, there's Dr.
characters.
Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. No, he wasn't in the build.
In this build it's Werewolf, Dracula.
Dracula wearing
Angel Girl.
Wearing like young Dante's like chest revealing leather.
Yeah, okay. Angel Girl. Then there's like
Angela.
Knight Guy, like Gabriel.
Yes,
his name was
yes,
like
yes.
I guess he's a vampire hunter. But also in the build, like in previous builds, like a PSX, there's like a demon girl. Then there was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So there's more characters. But yeah, that was in this build.
The thing that needed, I think, the most work that I left the dev with was
this.
The fact that the impact noises were not strong enough. Mm-hmm. And when you see a big hit, you want to feel it. You want that crunchy
like,
impact.
You
want
to hear Horf.
Exactly.
When you do a super, they just
Horf.
Use the sound of a normal.
Multiple times. And that's no good. Also, when people get hit, they tend to slide left and right. And you want
that's one of those polished things.
Yeah, you
I'm
just
like,
want to polish that up, which I'm sure they will.
And the guy was like, yeah, that's really good feedback. Like, thank you.
Yep.
Like, what you said to him.
Ran by the Fantasy Strike boys. Serlin was there. Richard was there. And that game's
polishing
up. Did it
have new characters?
Up.
I didn't play it because...
Not new characters, but they're mainly... But they're going over, like, different, like, visual passes, adding more animations, completing it more. And it's on Fig now. So they're opting to try out the new thing that Tim Schafer jumped on, right? The thing where you invest in the Kickstarter, sort of. So Fantasy Strike was coming along as well. We then walked over to Punch Planet and sat and played a couple games of Punch Planet.
So Punch Planet is basically just Third Strike?
I mean...
In terms of...
Mechanically, it's got a lot of that going. It's very clean and... It's not going above and beyond with like too many mechanics or too daring. It's just being a very
competent fighter.
Competent fighter, and it looks so fucking good.
I mean, that's its main thing. Like, if it doesn't have a new mechanic or some like crazy gimmick, just visually, it's just so sharp and
all the animation is put into the recovery. So everything has a really like nice impact and feel to it. And then after the moment of impact, the recovering animation is where all the extra frames go. And I love that because, like, if you're talking about the giant, like, Amazon woman that they've added.
That looks like a mix of Jam from Jem the Holograms.
Tiara or Tiana,
and,
I think.
And Rose Quartz. And Wonder Woman.
Tons of Steven Universe vibes get it coming from her. But she plays like Hugo. And on every hit, you just see that extra twist or that extra, like, hip thick.
Like, you know, Hugo's dropkick, like just the butt slam.
Yeah.
So she has that move, but it's the exact same function, but it's an elbow drop. Like, it's a short elbow drop, but she just does this and it works exactly the same way. And she has, she has a 360 and a 720.
And then you've got like main character, just like, you know, gunman. Laser gunman.
Well, he was like space smuggler. For those that don't know, this is like a galaxy fighting game. So it's like different races. So what's the other character after gunman?
There is Dog, who is a dog.
Dog.
He is a dog.
It's like a space.
What kind of dog?
It looks like a wolf, kind of.
Okay. A little bit of a wolf.
Like a husky.
But it's Poppy.
Yeah.
You control Poppy.
And then there is a tough girl.
Sid, I think.
With Fro and army fatigues.
Dog.
Ready to beat your ass with a knife.
She throws grenades and has yeah, a knife.
Military lady.
So yeah, there's no gimmick to the game. It's just a really
visually incredible, tight, solid feeling. Game. One of the coolest things in the world about it is when you do cancels. Mm-hmm. So like basically any move, you can double tap the input after you do, like, say, a Hadouken. You tap it twice and then you'll do it and burn meter and cancel out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime you do that, and anytime you do the parries, which are forward and two mediums,
yeah,
you basically time travel into the future.
What?
So what you see, these, the after image of yourself doing the action, like burning away as you kind of break out of it. How do I describe it? It's,
that's really hard to understand.
It looks
like,
it's so interesting because it looks like you're leaving yourself behind in the past. Mm-hmm. And then and breaking forward to do the next action.
Like, you know when someone says, Homer, there's a craft service table over there, and he leaves a ghostly trail of himself. It's like,
but it's more than that, you know. And it looks visually awesome. It feels like the characters.
There's no time stop element to the game.
No.
It's just a visual effect.
It's just a visual effect. But it feels like they're time traveling while they're doing it, is the best way I can describe it.
That sounds fucking great.
It is super dope. Right now, only two stages, but both of them are very pastel, which I love.
Yeah, no,
I love those colors. Punch Planet is the name of the game, and you need to check this shit out because they're doing it, man.
Yeah. Did you get to play Guts?
I did not play Guts, got to walk by and check out Guts.
Do you want me to talk to you about Guts? Because I
play
Guts.
Play some Guts. Talk about Guts.
Guts is like a 2.5D 3D fighting game where...
Why we need to set this up properly.
Mm-hmm.
Why... Like, are we going to just get into it when we can introduce the basic premise that is someone decided one day, you know what needs to come back?
Time killers.
Remember fucking time killers, dude?
How the fuck could I ever forget fucking time killers?
So what it is that...
Fucking time killers is back on this podcast?
This game,
and
this
better
game
than ever.
Guts has no health bar and no timer, the things that usually keep fighting games back from achieving their true potential. So what it is that your face buttons are different Guts moves, which are things that dismember your opponent, your arms, legs... And
they're all just dismember attack.
But you need to get meter to get them.
Okay.
So when you get one, it'll say Guts move at the top.
Guts
and
move.
And each one has a different trajectory. One is straight ahead. One's an anti-air. Mm-hmm. One's a low. And you have to basically do a rock, paper, scissors about what you should do and which Guts move.
What does this game not have, Matt?
Health bars and timers.
And why is that?
Because Guts moves.
Because you fight until your limbs fall off and then you flail around as a bloody torso.
That's great.
If you have enough meter, you can go over to your legs and sew them back on.
That's pretty sick.
So you press down in both lights because you have normals as well. And there's also stage environmental hazards like giant saw blades. And we didn't really get a good look at it when we walked by. But when I played it, the characters are actually the craziest character to see. It's like this super obese woman opera singer who's like dressed like a Parisian like courtesan, and then there's like a Scottish lumberjack with a golden chainsaw. It's like they're actually really, really crazy. Like, so the craziest characters.
Wait,
I've seen
moving over and sewing your legs back on honestly sounds a lot like Cyborg Justice.
It kind of does.
Even walking over and hitting down in two lights.
Yeah,
but like I said, you need meter to do it. But if you spend your meter there, then you won't get a Guts move for the next while. And the only way you finish a match is someone has to be just a torso, and you have to hit them with one more Guts move.
Man.
And you can still, some specials still work while you're a torso.
Okay.
So it was really, really fun. There was like, you know, in short bursts, I could say there's only four characters in the build, but I'm like, I'll play this. I'll play Guts.
Guts was there.
Pete's presents Nickelodeon Guts.
Do you have it? Do you have it? There was, of course, Dissidia.
Yeah, I didn't play that.
Didn't play it either. But I hear good things. There was...
Titus is in it.
Yeah. I played.
Wait, did you actually hear good things?
Yes.
I did.
Because the two original Dissidias were a lot of fun. But as fighting games, they were like, okay.
Well, I got a beta code because they were handing those out on Sunday. So
yeah, I got an email about beta
code. We will find out soon, I suppose. Hmm. Marvel versus Capcom Infinite was there. And I went over on the Saturday because Yo Video Games was doing a little like challenge session where it was like, hey, challenge a member of Yo Video Games. And so I got to get some rounds in with them.
Challenge someone to look at Dante's face.
And so playing that, it was pretty much the same build I played the week prior. And, you know, the sentiments remain. I had the same things I had to say about it before are echoed in that it, you know, when you're playing with somebody, it feels fine. A lot about how you'd get in the last game is it's trickier now because you don't just have that assist button to be like, here's a free arrow shot to like cover your entry. So you got to figure out a lot of how to approach in the way that Marvel versus Capcom 1 was, like without assists everywhere. And assists are now more just like safe tags. So, you know, all that mechanical stuff is there. All that mechanical stuff is fine. The way that the Infinite Gems, Infinity Stones are working are interesting. And I want to see what that soul gem is about, where it's like you can possibly revive a dead teammate and stuff like
Whoa,
that.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like you steal a little bit of life from your opponent. And then the big usage of it is bring back a dead
like
teammate.
Sacrifice your partner.
Like, almost kind of, exactly, you know. So, yeah, there's, like, at the end of the day, no matter what it comes down to, like, when we talk about Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, like, mechanically, it's all there, you know?
See, the problem with it is that it's supposed to be the best, most hypest, most greatest crossover.
But that roster, though.
So just when there was rumors swirling that Marvel, that Marvel's making Capcom make shitty characters, they show Iron Man's face.
Iron Man has a face, and it looks weird.
Oh, put him back in. He's not done yet.
Get back to WCW, Mr. Bagwell. Mom call me again to get you into Marvel.
Well, I've never heard the noise I heard like when that popped up, and you got to see excitement immediately followed by confusion.
The crowd.
It was like, hey,
videos.
He's got a new face. His face. Whoa.
The crowd reaction videos for Marvel are weird to watch because they're a combination of awkwardness and sandbagging over what should be like, yeah, like Marvel.
Well, guess what? Jedha is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Jedha was revealed, and Jedha.
How's the Supers look?
Jedha was unceremoniously dumped on stage while F Champ was sitting there with Peter, and they went back to the character select screen and it was like, there he is, it's Jedha. And when you came in, Pat, you were saying like you were looking for
because there's a lot of character reveal trailers that happened over the weekend.
Oh, quite a few.
And I saw Jedha got announced and I went, Jedha's really cool. I'm not personally that familiar with him, but I know him and I know his moves are super cool. Where's the Jedha reveal trailer? And Wooly says to me,
not only was there no Jedha reveal trailer, but they skipped his intro and whiffed his supers.
And then I threw my phone down at the table like
so. I didn't know that.
So, you know, we kind of got not the best way to check the character out for the first time.
My favorite Jedha thing that came up on the weekend is Cap going, you know, no one really knows who the X-Men are, so they're not going to be in it. Here's Jedha.
Yeah. Here's exactly.
Here's and Jedha, the here's guy Abigail, from Darkstalkers 3, the series that we couldn't bring back to life.
Yeah. Now this is, and so you see, like, and the difference here is that everyone, including like the, all those memes and what you just said, is like, yeah. Capcom says no one remembers that, and it's like Combo Fiend said, you
Combo
know,
Fiend,
but
with
now,
Capcom's mouth.
But yep, that's what that means, and that's the shit part. Of being in that hot
seat.
It is.
Right.
Because that really was like, because they definitely tell them, hey, say this, don't say that, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest is like, obviously, we hired you because you can figure it out. And like, that type of statement, not the best, but now that's part of the messaging. So, you know, when we see something obscure, the most is going to go back to
Wolverine.
No one remembers the X-Men, and then that gets compared.
Wolverine,
but it's like,
now less popular worldwide than Jedha.
God bless, you tried, but that was a doozy.
The function quote and that one are the two ones that are just going to haunt that game forever.
Yeah.
Every time they announce
such a disappointing
fucking obscure character, People are going to go, oh, and think of all the people in the West.
Yeah.
Think of all the American fans that go, oh, you're right. I have no idea who Jean Grey is. Sure glad I can see the nameless monster hunter.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jetta.
Seth Killian never said anything like this, did he?
He said. He said.
I can't
recall. He would just adjust his glasses and chuckle coolly.
Rue? Anybody?
Rue?
Yeah, he says Rue.
And. Oh, for Ryu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Seth Gillian has had a couple of funny little quips.
That man plays stick backwards.
And that's the thing, is it's mainly that like function versus function, and no one remembers the X-Men. That lives on because of the hilarity of it, as opposed to like what he was trying to get
the content.
You know?
Yeah,
then
yeah,
people
no,
go,
yeah.
Hey, is Wolverine's function in the game?
And anytime
and
that word comes up, it's like wop wop wop
wop.
But Jetta was also, and I love Jetta's designs because he looks like a Kaneko demon.
Oh, he's great.
He's great. But he was shown off alongside Gamora, who looks pretty boring to me.
What is she anyway?
Well, from Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, but I mean in the game. I mean, what's her function? I'm actually asking about her function.
She's got some sword swipes and some gunshots.
Is she? Oh, she's Deadpool.
So
there's his function.
You know,
that's her function.
And I guess I just sort of like. Yeah, I just kind of look at it like, well, I mean, it's a Guardians character, so I know why that's showing up, but it's not the most interesting choice.
The problem with Guardians is that, Rocket shoots guns, Drax hits things with his fists and swords, Gamora hits things with swords
Star-Lord
and guns.
Star-Lord shoots guns.
Yeah.
And has a jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
is smarmy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much function for a fighting game, though, being smarmy.
Who doesn't have
Deadpool
guns?
Had smarm function.
Or
yeah, he did.
Who doesn't have? Who has things? Which Guardians of the Galaxy member has things besides punches and guns?
Groot.
There you go.
He's got tree stuff.
But what happened?
He's a
super animation.
Exactly. So that's what sucks. I think Groot should have been the playable full character.
I agree.
Because a goddamn tree man has a goddamn...
And he should have had Rocket as his assist.
Think about how many interesting moves you get out of tree man.
I have a solution for you. Mm-hmm. They should have taken Nemesis's function and given it to Groot with some variation.
Sure.
And given Nemesis's Capcom slot to somebody else.
And they got rid of Rocket's log trap.
Really?
So they could have put in Groot trap.
Yeah, why not?
You know, log trap is now replaced with Groot jumping in. Yeah.
That's super lame.
Yeah, well. So anyway, that's how that went.
Wow, I'm excited.
Were there any new systems that were revealed at E3? At E3?
I don't think so.
At Evo? There's no new systems?
For Marvel? No.
No, no, in general, for fighting games. Is there anything that will revolutionize fighting games in terms of systems that you and I maybe discovered?
Okay.
Evo.
Okay. Well,
trying to get us there.
Is this motherfucker making jokes?
Not a joke.
I'm trying to describe. Did it get posted? The video?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to describe the phenomenon that we refer to as the Golgi system. Golgi. The year is 2017.
My eyes narrow.
The world has returned to Golgi. G-O-U-G-I. That's how you spell it.
Spell it right, bitch.
That's the future of fighting games right there. G-O-U-G-I.
Why?
With Japanese brackets around it. Because Fighting Layer EX is not the full final name, but it's what we're calling it for now.
It's Arika Fighter.
Arika's making a new fighting game, and it's got everybody in it, including Skullo-fucking-mania.
Including Darren Mister.
They knew how to announce those guys.
Guess who, like, literally all weekend before Skullo-mania was revealed is like, well, he's like, I'm just saying, if they reveal Skullo-mania, Evo is done.
It's over.
Skullo-mania coming back triumphantly to fighting games.
It's like, that's all I was saying while we were playing. It. But the game plays
the
like.
What is the name of this game?
I think it's Fighting Layer EX.
Okay, so Fighting Layer EX has what may be my favorite marketing style of anything I've ever seen that was in full force in that trailer. Because the trailer says beta online or whatever coming April Fool's 2018?
Yeah.
Question mark, question mark, question mark. this game's trailer advertising run so far has been, is this game fake?
I think that it's because Akira, I forget his last name.
Nishitani, I believe.
Is trying his hardest.
Arika?
Akira is the joke with his name, Arika. Okay. I get it now. I think the whole thing is that he's trying to not overcommit to the possibility of there not being a game coming out. You know?
There's so many characters now.
I know. But he's still trying to possibly be like, okay, but no, wait, though. Maybe it won't. But we played it. And it has...
We had a little while before we had to play, so we were investigating the printouts that they had.
Well, it has a basic list setup that is exactly the same as Street Fighter EX. So what that means is you have lights on throws, and you have two mediums to do your knockback or knock blow, heavy blow.
Yeah, it's kind of like a FADC.
Well, what it turned into in this game was it's an overhead, right? Mm-hmm. That takes a meter, and it gives you a little stun state. And it's really fast. Everyone runs instead of dashing forward. And
you have a combo off your dash. If you just tap lights, you get an automatic
combo. There's an auto combo. There's also dial of combos. A little Gatling system in there for you. But the Golgi system is where you select one of multiple
grooves.
Decks.
Kind of.
Decks. Don't fuck it up. Don't get it twisted.
I'm sorry.
You select your deck. And what does your deck consist of? It consists...
Do you remember all of them?
...of five different orbs of power that contribute to your Golgi. Okay? What is your Golgi?
Do you remember all the names of the
your
decks?
Your Golgi takes you into the fight equipped with things such as guts and...
attack up. Are we just doing the buffs, or are you doing the names of the decks?
Okay. Juggernaut. Miracle.
Shinobi.
Okay.
Aggro.
Uh-huh.
And I forget the last one.
Right. And within each one of these categories, there were subcategories of things that were Angel. Heat.
Attack up. Defense up. Good super
old,
armor.
Good old Japan.
Right? Power and such and so forth. And what you get is... What essentially is that you've got little mini achievements that you accomplish in the middle of a fight, such as block four power attacks and unlock this orb of Golgi, right? Land a counter hit and unlock this orb
Shut
of
up.
Golgi.
Why do you guys say it like that every time?
Now,
this amounts to is by the end of the second or third round, because it was best out of five, what starts happening?
You start glowing with fucking Golgi power. And your character is way more intense and strong. And you have things on super armor and
Me and Willie were both Karai. And we were hitting...
Kairi.
And we were both hitting each other.
Hades.
That's the last deck. We were both doing full combos, and we both had so much
and you're just,
layers and layers of super armor on.
That you're just punching each other and shoryuking each other. Okay. And nothing else is happening. Okay. And the whole
awesome.
And what that amounts to, really, if you think about it, is the gem system from Cross Tekken,
but done in a fun way.
Well, in a over the top way.
In a fun way,
because by the end, you're just like, you have the gem that doesn't allow me to knock you down anymore, and I have the gem that doesn't allow me to get thrown. So we're just gonna fucking do what we can and burn our meter. And you throw a Shinku Hadouken at me, and I'm going to walk through it, and it does damage, but I'm still walking through it.
Because Golgi.
This Evo feels like Mugen is infecting fighting games again.
It was really, I don't know what it is, but there's just something about it that I really like, because it wasn't a AAA fighting game. It wasn't a shitty fighting game. It was right in the middle, which is where I love it almost the most, where it was just kind of jank. It's just a little bit of jank, just a touch, a dash, a dollop of jank, but it looked amazing. I think it looks as good as Street Fighter V does.
When it comes time to fucking market this game, hire me, because I will film commercials.
Do that voice when you say Golgi.
Where it's just people in everyday life, and the question is asked, what's your Golgi? And and it's like your phone rings and you pick up the phone and you go, oh, I don't want to take that call. And you hung it up and it's like, that is the 50th call you've turned down. You've unlocked the Hades, Gorgi. You have now,
remember,
you've now gained super armor.
Remember on the podcast you talked about like that Genesis beat 'em up and it had this really over the top commercial where it was like a buff Japanese guy?
Yes.
They need to hire you to be that guy.
Well, that game had a silly name
Pandrium
too.
Pandrium or something, Pancradium or whatever.
Oh my god!
I fucking love that. So after you and I played with our friend Maguma. Then I played another match where I took Hokuto, and I'm just doing all her like her dash backs.
Yeah,
and
her, just her sliding attacks.
She was really fun. I'm actually really sad they didn't get Darun and Skull Mania into this build and like reveal it there. I would have loved to get a few extra characters.
Skullo Dives, man. I don't love as many moves as I love the Skullo Dive.
Yeah, I know. It's your big favorite. So what was your, like, what when you saw the trailer, what was, because we weren't around together when, like, a lot of these trailers dropped, but when you saw Skull and Mania, you heard about it.
Yeah, I was in the middle of the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, that shit you ate there.
With my mouth half stuffed going,
Golgi. I know exactly what your face looks like.
Yeah.
Your eyes are kind of buggy out, and you're trying to
wipe your mouth off and like get my phone going, you know? And I'm trying to tilt it, but I'm like, I'm tilting my phone, but it's not rotating to fill the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm spinning it around going, fuck!
You spun around your phone 5 times. You've unlocked the
Golgi. Oh, man. We'll talk about it while we wait for Pat to come back. But the Darun also has always been super fun because of his body launches.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved his fucking trampoline effect of super shooting you super high up into the air, and then his follow up throws are catching you out of the air.
So many power bombs, this Darun.
It's different from a normal grapple in that, like, it's more about the catch. You know, that's really fun.
Like in the trailer, he just yelled some gibberish, then went DDT.
Yeah. Gamble of Darun.
That's your favorite.
But the issue, I guess, is that, like, I feel like Street Fighter has moved on by introducing Hakan because he almost replaces him.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, while sitting in the middle of the Cheesecake Factory, someone said the word Geese Howard.
That's where you were at the time?
Because they were like, yeah, dude, and fucking Geese Howard. And I'm like, wait, what?
Where?
And they're like, you didn't see the news? And I'm like, what? And they're like, there's a trailer on. And I was like, oh! And I actually, like, had conniption fits. Like, it was one of those, like, I still can't believe how perfect of a pick.
So...
It's not Terry Bogard. It's not Kyo Kusanagi.
During Max's panel, someone asked us, asked the group at large, saying, who do you want to be as the next character in Tekken 7? And I just said the answer that we've all said for a while, like, Kazuma Kiryu. Mm. And someone's like, boo, Majima. I'm like, yes, Majima too. And then everyone else gives an answer, and someone in the crowd goes, what about Geese Howard? And
yeah.
I think everyone kind of went like, sure, of course.
I almost would like mentally disqualify that because like, that's never going to happen, man.
Oh my God.
But Max did say, yeah, I would love him as a second pick.
He looks so fucking good.
Beast.
He looks he's got the hair and the chain.
Like all his other reveal trailers and all his other games where he just does the predictable montage.
Predictable.
Go watch the audience watching it with their audio of the audience yelling, predictable! Predictable! After each one.
It's such fighting game community fodder.
Weird.
And your reveal trailer is stomping on Heihachi's dick saying, die, maggot.
Stay down, maggot. Oh, my God. It's the
same. No whining losers here.
Dumb English voice fucking geese. No, there's like they could have like made him sound like more coherent, but they did not.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
It's the same because it's the same world as Terry Bogard. We don't want proper English speaking Terry Bogard.
Okay, I don't know about you.
What's up with the education in Southtown?
It doesn't exist.
No, Southtown as the vision of America, specifically New York, by Japan.
No, that's my
is the best.
But it it now exists in the Tekken universe.
Yes.
Alongside everyone else who's super normal.
Absolutely.
So what's the deal with Southtown?
There is no education.
I want
to find out that Southtown actually exists in fucking Aichi Prefecture Japan.
Is there some,
and it's just an isolated world that thinks it's in America, but it's actually in Japan.
Is there something in the water that makes people talk like that?
I don't know.
I don't think Andy would talk like that. Not that Andy gets a chance to say much, but like I think he
But
be
Blue
a-
Mary, Terry Bogard, yeah, and Geese Howard
that's like a,
all
yeah,
sound
yeah,
ridiculous,
yeah.
And it's the best.
So, I don't
anyway.
Know about you guys, but like Geese being in there, I'm like, Geese is the most evil of all. Like, Heihachi's nothing. Like,
so,
the devil gene is nothing. Geese Howard is literally pure evil.
Well, here's the thing. The fact that...
Ogre is like, oh, shit,
well, that's
Howard.
Why, and so that's why when everyone's trying to speculate, like, oh, what comes next? It's like, don't bring your protagonist guesses
no.
into this, because clearly that's
the,
not
the
what they're going for.
The formula has been established.
Yeah, so someone will say, like, oh, man, maybe Soul Bad Guy, and it's like... But they're not doing that. They're going for the villain and or the anti-hero.
Okay, is it my crazy? Did I miss it? How come it said DLC 2 on Geese Howard? Was there a DLC 1?
Akuma.
I didn't know it. But he's in the game. He's in the game. He starts off in the game.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Because it says DLC 2 on Geese Howard, Winter 2017.
Yeah, I guess so.
So was there DLC we missed or it was announced and we didn't
Eliza. Eliza was the DLC 1. Eliza was DLC 1.
Yeah, she was.
And yeah, you didn't need to pre-order the game.
She was she was the Tekken Revolution character and she came she wasn't
and
on
she
the
She invented
disc.
The Rapuken in the Tekken universe.
Yeah. So he's 2 and then who knows where we go with 3. But I don't care because quite frankly
I don't care.
This roster is just that's powerful. That's and this, and the sad part is Tekken no other Tekken game will have Geese Howard and Akuma in it. So, like, this is special now, and it'll only be special now.
If you want to get stupid crazy, it makes no sense. Like, just in the next trailer for the next character in, like, whatever, spring 2018, you see Geese just, like, sitting down where Heihachi used to be. And you hear, like, oh, you think you're the best, Geese Howard. And then, like, a dimensional portal ripens up and, like, gargles! And Geese is, like, all
people
the devils.
We're speculating for, like, old Shang Tsung as the, or Shao Kahn
if
as the
a
next
Mortal
one.
Kombat character, no. As cool as Geese Howard is, I can, it's Japanese company, a Japanese company.
Yeah,
I can totally,
they never talk
Shao
to America.
Shao Kahn steps out.
Yeah.
I'll fucking lose my shit.
So
Onaga.
Like, the thing is, like, with Guilty Gear, it's like, you wouldn't pull Justice out of there. You wouldn't pull, like...
Felt.
Or, no, not Felt, but Ramlethal.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you were going to pull, like, I guess a Soul, at least make it, like, Holy Order Soul or something mm-hmm. different like that. That'd be interesting. Maybe. But, they can go anywhere, man. They can do anything.
Like, after seeing this, I'm like, is Dural actually possible?
Fighting games coming together in the form of Tekken 7 that we haven't seen since Brawl, I think.
I mean, what do you think about all these like little rumors and stuff that people on the Arc System side and a Twitter picture of like literally the main guys from Arxis and the main guys at SNK just having a dinner together over Evo?
Yeah.
Like, could we dare to dream?
I think we can.
Yeah?
I believe it.
I believe it, too.
I mean, once upon
I don't want it to be Guilty Gear versus King of Fighters. I want it to be Arc System versus
Look, once upon a time, Sammy versus Capcom was a project
was
that
a
never
thing.
Came to fruition, but it did exist.
But, like,
know?
I would actually, like, at this point, like, Capcom just committed to Capcom. It's kind of... Well, in terms of, like... Yeah, I don't see them going
the guest,
SNK.
The guest route is what Tekken is doing right
now. Can we do...
I want a King of Fighters game made by Arxis.
I want... A
visually,
game.
Visually.
I want a game that's called Fighting Game, and it is everything.
Yeah. I think we all kind of do.
Brawl was that for a time.
Brawl was the closest thing to that, and that's still the number one in
my opinion.
Oh,
well, now Blaze Blue Tag Battle. That's close.
So Blaze Blue Tag Battle was pretty exciting.
Cross Tag Battle, that is.
Because
what
the way they revealed that
oh, man.
Was so strong.
That
it
is the...
Made for pop.
That is, so I've lamented in the past over how Ono screwed up his own Street Fighter Cross Tekken trailer reveal because the camera's supposed to pan down to Ryu and you're supposed to be shocked, right? This cross tag battle reveal is perfect. It is that exactly.
Because without an oh no to spoil it for you.
12 frames to understand what's going on.
And so watching, again, if you can, watching the Evo reaction to the cross tag battle trailer is you see Ragnar the Blood Edge and
Ice Jin, Car Boy.
And Jin staring at each other doing the usual, talking some trash, and then fucking Hyde and Yu Narukami just clash in the middle of the screen and slide to each side, and you go bah! And like in 10 frames you have to process all of that,
and then by the time you're starting to process, it goes Chrono. Fucking
Clef, Blaze Blue, and Under Night and Birth, and Persona 4 Arena, and they're all sprites, so it works, right?
Yep. They're all 3D. Sprites of similar quality.
Similar quality in game.
They can't use old Guilty Gear sprites because they'd look a little. Oh, they look like compared, junk. Use new Guilty Gear sprites.
It's 3D.
They don't exist.
No. So you got it. So all your sprite-based games, you got it here. And then fucking Ruby Rose shows up, and then everyone loses their shit again. And it's like, this is going to be a whatever all-together fighting game. It happens to be under the label Blaze Blue, but quite frankly, it could have been anything else.
Yeah.
It could be called
Cross Tag Battle.
And now, then your brain starts racing for like, okay, so they've been, Arxis has been getting nice and friendly with French Bread and Examu because they've been doing some of their publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can stretching out and going back into the past and go like, can we get some fucking Hokuto no Ken sprites brought back from the dead?
Is pushing out and making friends and making deals and doing great, and I feel happy for them.
Well, there's a slight bit of concern.
What's the concern?
The concern is that they've announced, it's public that they're a company of about 250 people.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're a four franchise studio because there's the Guilty Gear series,
mm-hmm.
there's the Blaze Blue series, mm-hmm. which they announced Jubei for.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is pretty, I have to.
Took a while.
That is fucking cool because one thing I always remembered from the beginning was that cat guy that was Ragnar's teacher in the story mode never showing up in any of those games until now. Holy fuck.
Every single game, people are like, when are we going to get to play as Jubei?
When's Jubei? When's the cat guy from Calamity Trigger? Like 10 years ago,
Charlie walking around, but you never get to play as Charlie. He's free.
He's talking. He's there. He's got lines for you. You know, it's super weird. Like him and Kokonoe, right? So, yeah, that's a really cool thing for them. And so that's active, right? Blaze Blue's active. Guilty Gear's active. We've now got Cross Tag Battle. We've now got Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Ball Fighters. That's four things. Like maximum effort being put into right away. The idea that a P5 arena would happen would be nuts because it'd be like a fifth thing for them to split themselves into. I think it's much more likely that, I think in fact we're gonna see P5 characters in the tag battle. I don't know if we're gonna get an arena game. I think we might just get Joker and a couple friends hanging out in the cross tag battle.
Mm-hmm.
And other companies coming to Arxis going, hey, we want you make our thing into a fighting game because you're the go-to guys now.
You're cool.
Proven it. Yeah. And, you know, you don't want them spreading themselves too thin in a Platinum-esque way, mm-hmm. because even Platinum had some poorer games when they had to hit those deadlines with a small team.
Or canceled games.
Right? So at the end of the day, you still get a Platinum quality, like, awesome game where the characters in a room feel great to control, but Ninja Turtles and Transformers and Korra all fall into that, like, yeah, but they didn't have the time to give it the full touch. Mm-hmm. So you just don't want
DBC's Arxis.
DBC's
clearly getting a full...
It's getting...
Full,
exhaustive,
extra effort.
Exhaustive effort.
Krillin and Piccolo were just announced.
They were. So we know a 9-character build is coming.
This is the most like no shit roster ever,
dude. Yeah. So I spent
Zarbon
some time with Dragon Ball.
I heard some stuff about you playing Dragon Balls.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, that's funny.
I heard a thing from you.
Oh,
directly
on your Twitter.
Oh, that's
which
cool.
was surprising to say the least.
Well.
I heard that you drowned in pools in SF5.
That I did.
But made top 16 in DBZ Super.
That I did.
Whatever.
So,
wait, is that what
fighters.
It's called?
No.
Dragon Ball Fighters. Yeah, so...
it would be funny if he actually did in DBZ Super on the PS2. He was playing the wrong game.
Yeah, so there's basically this beast of a Gal player named Esuta that was in my pool, and he really dismantled me. But
you took to it, clearly.
I got some games in on Dragon Ball, and more importantly, I got some eyeball time on other people playing Dragon Ball,
mm-hmm.
and just went, I'm gonna do what that guy just did.
Yeah.
Because people don't seem to know how that works yet.
That's day one,
right?
day zero. Day minus 90 or whatever the fuck it
day
is.
Day minus 365.
I didn't get to play it. Every time I went, the line was too big.
Oh.
And I kind of wanted to like pretend to like have a problem so that someone would let me in.
So it was super cool because on day one...
I was dying or something.
On day one, it was too late because everything was all tied up and whatnot. But yeah. Max was in the bracket and Xavier was in the bracket. Xavier Woods.
Yeah, if I
and
Xavier.
So, yeah, they were walking around and all I see is because I was watching Max play and we were talking about it and stuff, and all I see is Xavier run by me and he's like, dude, I want my first match. And
that's
I was like,
so
oh,
excited.
Nice, you know? And we were talking about it and stuff, and I was watching him play and stuff, and this game, dude, it's...
You said something very bold.
What did I say?
You said something when I think we're hanging out with Max. Or
I was in a blur of hype, so
you just
need
said
to tell
something
me what
like
I said.
It is the best video game.
It is it. Okay.
You said something along those lines.
I said,
is it the best video game?
I said this is the best thing I've played all weekend. Is what I said.
I thought it was more grander, but
because
that was along those lines.
It just fucking rules.
Considering
man.
That weekend, it's a pretty strong statement. Regardless,
because here's what's happening, just on a control level, that this is not. Not just on the basic Dragon Ball hype and it's super pretty level, it's on a bit of a more mechanical thing, but you have so much control, and it's really interesting to see a game where the characters moving on their feet are slow. You're moving at a slow, deliberate pace, right? The game itself is fucking fast and shit's going crazy, but you can move at that level. Then you can dash around, right, in the way you do in air dashers and jump and dash forward and back and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that anime speed going on at the same time as a slow, deliberate speed. And then you get an even faster speed, which is the Dragon Rush, where you you target the person you're flying at, right? Mm-hmm. But I've seen some footage, and I haven't played with it myself, but there's footage of people not flying in a straight line at the guy, but curving their arc or flying at the enemy and then dashing away. So when
just
you do
like
that
Dragon Ball.
So when you do the whole lock on fly at the guy Dragon Rush thing, you get to control the arc a little bit in a way that I guess is a the only way I can compare it is when you do Lucario's up B?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like that.
Okay.
I think it's like that where you just control the arc a little bit, which is insane amounts of control added on top of the usual speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not enough, at any point when
furthermore,
you want to burn that bar, you just do the fucking teleport. And you just teleport behind the guy. And that's pretty much a universal system. And you're seeing it happen where, in my first match on the game, a dude did it to me. And I went, oh, fuck. And I did it back to him. And you got the zoop, 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 little moment of us burning bars to not get to not get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, this is the fucking show.
Yeah.
I'm playing the show.
They've successfully gamified the fun parts of the fight scene.
All those 3D Dragon Ball games where we dropped off playing it, it's because they got really complicated with, ground combat, air combat, far away, you're 3 miles away, projectile combat. And this is actually condensing all those cool Dragon Ball things you see, but locked in a 2D plane somehow. They cracked the code.
Well, quite simply, in the same way that Arxis decided to make Persona a really good feeling version of their Guilty Gear games with even more accessible controls,
mm-hmm.
it's like they just took the same thing and they did it to Dragon Ball and they made it about... in Persona, a lot of it was character-specific systems and combos. And in this, they just went movement. Yeah. Movement, movement, movement. You have more mobility options in Dragon Ball Fighters than you do in any other thing. I can imagine. You know, outside of like maybe Smash Brothers levels of like, you know, DI and like your aerial
smash
control.
Is, smash is smash,
you know?
So it's hard.
And then you fill the screen with amounts, crazy amounts of shit, like all your assists jumping in and blowing shit up and making it hard to see. But like you still can keep track of what you're attacking and what you're fighting, and if you ever can't, that Dragon Rush button is there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was playing a team of...
who's your team?
I was playing a team of Cell, Vegeta, and Boo. And I really just... I love Boo in particular. He's got some really fun stuff. His super is like that... Like, you know what? I hate you. The moment that he has where he just goes like... Bah!
Yeah.
And he screams and blows you up. And it has like a startup that's ambiguous because he starts glowing, and then the hitbox of like right before he yells,
yeah,
goes off, and you can't quite tell that moment. So that tricks people into thinking, oh, I can get away right now, and they try to move. And it's like, nah, dude, that's not
you cannot.
But the biggest, most ridiculous thing I saw the whole weekend was Goku's level 3, where he fucking goes Super Saiyan level 3. And then teleports behind you and does a cross-up. And it's instant startup, instant attack. Mm. So if you're not walking forward while the animation flashes, you're getting hit by it.
Right.
Huh. That's crazy.
It's insane, man. The fact that they gave him that. But then you think back to their interviews where they're like, we don't want Goku to be losing to weak characters. That would look bad for Goku. So you're like, yeah, they're giving him shit.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
More people need to like Goku.
Goku, genocider of the universe.
Lots of little...
Horrible dad.
Lots of dad. Moves that are like, this is unblockable. Where it's like, don't be there when this move happens, right?
I imagine special beam cannon would be one of those.
I imagine, you know, perhaps the Destructo disc, although the Frieza one hits him on the way back. You know, there's fun stuff like that. Frieza has a move that is like a ground only super where he does that final shot, right, while he's on the floor dying type of thing. Mm-hmm. You just get all those little moments coming together in a fucking perfect way. The assist level now is definitely at a Marvel 2 level because, like, Frieza was on every team I fought because Frieza jumping in is Captain Corridor, right? It's Captain Commando's giant explosion that he does.
Yeah.
That's just the best get-the-fuck-off-me assist you can get. He has that tracks anywhere to you on screen. And Gohan does Psylocke, which is equally, like, amazing.
Psyblast.
Because she comes in and he comes in and basically does a Shoryuken that knocks you up and down to the ground, and you're not teching out until you hit the ground.
Right.
So it's a free combo, you know? The one thing I didn't get a chance to play with too much that is probably going to keep all of the insanity at bay is your deflect button, where you deflect projectiles coming at you and characters. So that's the important part.
If someone dragon rushes you?
If someone dragon rushes you, you knock them back.
Shit, I didn't know about that.
And it's enough of a... It's not a wall bounce, but it's enough of a stun that you can get a full punish off of it.
Nice.
So that's the whole risk, is all these little things that are like, yeah, that's unblockable. Yeah, that'll fucking blow you up. That thing is coming at you right now real fast.
Mm.
Deflect that shit.
Mm.
Or teleport out, you know? Dragon Ball FighterZ is my most anticipated fighting game of all the things we played this weekend.
Huh.
It just... I can't... I don't know. I don't know. I have, you know what I mean? Like, I just... And this is the... Like, it's the difficulty of... It's the difficulty of conveying how excited I was to play this, how much fun I had playing it, without making it like someone that grabs this and goes, well, this just feels like a normal fighter. What the fuck is Willie talking about? I don't want to, you know, there's always that thing going. But personally, get your hands on the free 9-character demo that's going to come out soon and let that make you decide. I'm excited personally. I fucking love it. If someone else doesn't for any reason, like...
I mean, if you don't like a hyper fighting game or like a tag game, it's like you're not... I don't think this... You would.
Yeah,
this would,
that's what I'm saying.
You.
I'm not going to say this is for everybody, but I'm going to say that I'm fucking loving it, and I'm going to spend a fuck ton of time getting in on this game and playing it and absolutely competing in it, because it just has so much shit that no other game has.
Right.
And that's the genius of Arxis. You know, Arxis is like... They are old Capcom now. they're the currently, like, I don't think it's like, oh, Arxis can take over, or they're, it's their time to shine. It's like, no, they have taken over. With this, I like, think it's done.
And like, very, very gradually, too. Like it's not like they tried to out Capcom. Capcom
no,
in like
up
two or three years. They built up
hits
tons
over the
of shit.
Years.
Yeah.
And they are currently number one.
And then you look
I
back
don't
and you
think
go,
there's any
like, oh, everything
that.
They've put out in the past, like, 5 years has
yeah.
been rock solid.
Yeah.
No worries.
What
everything from Persona 4 Arena onwards
basically
has yeah. been amazing.
And you're like, how long are we gonna go? Oh, those guys, they're coming up. They're pretty good. No.
They've been coming up for like 5-10 years.
It's fucking incredible.
They came up now.
They're done. And like, yeah, like if we can just sneak it in there, the what we were making reference to with Hokuto no Ken, their older fighting game.
So someone told us while we're at Evo, like, there is a Hokuto no Ken tournament at Evo, and Willie's like, what?
Whoa.
I was like, what?
I missed the side tourney that happened, but what you can do is catch the highlights where during the combo, the infinite combos that people.
Is it Toki or something?
People are doing infinite combos, and you're just sitting watching the other player stare at your body bopping off the ground.
There's nothing they can do.
And it takes a while for it to complete. So you see like the top Japanese player pull out his wallet and offer money to the guy to stop the combo, and he doesn't take it. He goes, all right, puts it away.
I tried.
And then you get other matches where like the combo starts and he just leans back and goes, ugh, right? And then you saw a tweet that was like, list of popular things to do while you're getting comboed in Fist of the North Star. And it's like, check your phone, make a call, order pizza, perhaps use the bathroom. And new on this list is take a selfie. And while he was getting comboed, he pulls his camera out and takes a selfie of himself. And then everyone sees it. And then all the players behind him, they get together like, ah! And they do it. And the combo never drops. His opponent is still doing it, you know? And you have that much time. Fucking Fist of the North Star Arxis is the best.
It's the best fighting game in the world.
And if we're going to bring it up, then you're going to bring up the fact that people are now going to get exposed to the greatest fighting game match of all time.
Yes.
Where just go YouTube.
We still can't get it in a decent resolution, though.
But it's out there, and it's easier to find than ever. If you type in greatest HNK match ever into YouTube, or best HNK match ever into YouTube, the first result, you're going to see it. It's Rey versus Kenshiro. And It's better than anything that's ever happened.
I think if you pay attention, you can understand what's going on, especially if you have a cursory knowledge of Hokuto.
You just have to know about the basic level of like when the stars break. You have 7 stars, and when they get bursted away, you can get instant killed.
Right.
Or if Kenshiro does hit the move where he lands on your shoulders, he does. You basically have, I think, 20 seconds.
It's 10 seconds, but it's actually 20 seconds.
It's actually slower than that, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a timer that appears, and it's like, if you don't win in this timer, your head blows up and you die. So that's all you need to know, and then go in and watch that match.
Really quickly, Willie, I have 2 things that you weren't there for, but I need to get out, because I was going to tell you like earlier, like when we were traveling and stuff. But so there's many matches at Evo. It occurs.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard.
I was talking with our friend Maguman. We're walking around the Artist Alley, which is actually quite nice. I was like, oh, there's lots of good stuff, and they're very either fighting game or Overwatch themed, competitive game themed. So we're saying, you know, he's like, there could be a thing. I don't know about it. I'm like, what? I'm like, well, you know, there's money matches. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, did you know that there's also money commissions where someone tries to be like, and two artists try to outdraw each other.
Oh.
And then I'm like, what? Are you serious?
He's and
like,
the winner gets paid.
And I'm like, are you really? And he's like, yeah, there might be something like that. So I'm like, what is that? Like, oh, I got a pocket sketch of Tracer you've never seen. And he just pulls out this sexy Tracer and was like, oh. I'm like, that needs to be a culture in and of itself.
Mm.
Money match commissions.
Mm.
And
money art battles.
And the other thing is that you went in there eventually, but before you came in, they had the big Evo after party in this club of of introverted fighting game nerds that were watching ladies in sexy lingerie offer drinks, and they're all like, no, I don't know about this place.
All right. So
well, there's the cool guys, obviously.
As cute as that image is painted, you need to understand something, that that is a lot of folks that are showing up at Evo to just spectate and have fun and enter.
Yeah, it
go
is.
And you know, go. I mean, I was go one and two in a bracket, right?
I was one of them. This girl in like lingerie comes up and she's like, "Do you want a drink?" And I'm like, "No."
But let's not pretend that thuggery is not abound.
Kenny was
amongst
in the middle
the top
of it.
Players.
Kenny
all
was
right?
in the middle of this thuggery on the dance
let's
floor.
Let's not fucking pretend.
But what you missed is before you came in, there was like this DJ and they're playing. They had like giant matches of Street Fighter V on like this like 100-foot screen, and then they had on the other side Killer Queen,
of course,
the video game being played. But the DJ starts going like, "All right, Evo 2017, yeah, okay. Do we have any Street Fighter V fans here? Yeah, nice, nice. Where's all my King of Fighters fans? Yeah." Cool, cool. Do we hear any anime fighters? Okay. Where's my Tekken 7? Yeah. I couldn't believe it was silence.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I don't know. Like, there's.
Yikes.
There's games happening. Yes. I don't know why they weren't representing.
They were just too embarrassed to speak.
I guess so.
And draw attention to themselves.
Yeah, that was pretty special. There was the bar fights happened the night before. That was a fun time too. I was hanging out and I happened, like, some money matches were happening there. And I wandered in and I was checking out some of the fights, saying hi to people. And then just like suddenly they just put a wall up and just started bouncing people out. And it got pretty intense because like top players were walking up and the guy at the gate was like, I don't play these games. I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything about you. And it's like, it's Noel Brown. And he's standing there and he's like, And then Justin comes up and is like, he's okay, he's okay, he's okay. And he's like, all right. And he's just like, what the fuck? You know? But I got to enjoy that and watch the fun matches while a certain low-tier god was not two or three steps next to me.
I saw you make a tweet about this god of a low tier.
It was real. That's all I can say is it was real. And that's not – there is no gimmick, sir. That man is 100% what
that
he presents
man.
Himself to be.
Hmm.
God bless. The alley too, the artist alley that you were just describing, right near there, the other part of this is like there's fighting game con. They have lots of cool shit for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And some exclusive stuff where I grabbed my Sagat skateboard, which Long Vo got to sign. Long Vo, excuse me. And that was really cool.
I really wanted to commission an Udon artist to like do like Poison or something for me. But by the time I got there, they're like all commissions closed until 3 p.m. We're way too busy. And I was like, damn.
But like all the warriors of Udon are sitting there.
Alvin Lee was there too. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, he usually shows up and has his own little section too.
That's cool.
Chamba and fucking everybody. So that's a good time. The stick section back in the back too was there.
That was expansive.
So I walked by that and I did it. I bought the dragon. The Canba dragon is basically like it's the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And it when you see it, it is just...
I got what the fuck's the one below the dragon?
Yeah, the one that people buy pick up more
dragon.
Often.
That thing's
very nice.
I forget the name. It's fucking nice, but I remember looking at the page for the dragon and being like,
That is
physically too much stick for me.
So the dragon,
I can't handle that. That thing's like 90 pounds.
It's weighty. It's hefty.
It has metal kickstands to put your feet.
A veiny, you might say.
But it's legit. It's real. And
thunderous.
They had it at a lower price because the thing is actually out of production. And
it's too much for everyone.
I don't know. But for whatever it is, they're like, here, we got this. So I grabbed that. And what was really important is there's Split Frame. They make stick bags. Mm-hmm. They had a bag. And the bag, I don't know what it is. And it's weird. I know I'm talking about this. But it's a bag where the stick, you put it in and it goes on your back. And the weight is cut in half. Something about the way the bag is made means you don't feel its weight on your back.
I called bullshit on that, and then Leanna put it on. She's like, wait, what?
I don't understand.
How come you're right.
It makes things
it just
lighter.
It has to be balanced or engineered. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. It's like the placement of like the actual straps, contrary to where the weight of the thing in the bag is, are just balanced so that your upper back is where that all goes.
I guess so.
And not your lower back, and there's no sag on your shoulders, so you feel fine.
It's weird.
It's super cool.
Space age is here.
Distribution, man. Weight distribution.
It doesn't make any sense. Key.
You have to try it to find out. I can't describe it, but you hold it in your hands, you're like, this is heavy. You put it on your back, I don't feel anything.
No, everyone pointed at Wooly and said he was a liar, but then we tested it and he was right. So,
and now you're all liars.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess any. I'm trying to think of very quickly any if there's anything else that was notable on the show floor. Nothing else comes to mind. So all I gotta say is,
Other character reveals?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wait, no, hold on a minute. There was Abigail.
There was Abigail.
So look, Abigail. All right, guys.
Yeah, no, Wooly, what's your hot take, Wooly? Wooly likes to douse this fire a little bit.
I want to hear your fucking hot take.
It's not even about dousing the fire. It's about the simple fact that they went back to a final fight boss.
Yeah, that's cool.
And pulled him out.
I think they went back to the wrong one.
I think that's awesome, and I'm glad they went to an obscure Capcom character.
I'm glad that they did because
it's the type of choice we joke about. We joke about these things becoming a reality. Like, we go, fucking Abigail might have been a joke somewhere in the last 2-3 years, you know? We saw artwork of what he looked like in the
Street Fighter V blog.
And
he looked fine.
Yeah.
A little plain, even.
A little Hugo-esque, and I guess you got to make some distinctions. Now, do you remember when they talked to Ono about why Seth from Street Fighter IV looked the way he looked?
I don't recall the specifics.
I don't remember, actually.
They asked him about it, and
like, why he's a naked, muscly man, or why he's glowing, like, blue?
What went into the design? Yeah. And his whole thing was, we wanted him to look like a big, strong, muscly man that represents the apex of fighting ability. We wanted him to be intimidating to you, mm-hmm. and to show you that, like, this is no ordinary fighter that you're fighting, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, and then that interview went on, and I forget, like, the second and follow-up questions, but I remember that it basically led to the idea of, like, this is why Urien and Gil are the same designs and the way they look, like, where you – that's their vision,
the Greek,
right?
Ideal.
And then, you know, you kind of look at Ono's things as well with, like, Saturday Night Slam Masters and the already existing Rufus and Fuerte that were in that game. And – he really likes big muscles.
Yes.
Is a thing. So I think there's some of this taste.
You know who has big muscles? Alex.
Alex has
pretty
big
muscles. That's a perfectly nice, you know, handsome boy.
You know who has
bigger
muscles?
Hugo.
Hugo. And Ray.
And that was the pure limit that we thought on muscles and hugeness.
But then at some point, we got into meme level fucking territory, or just like fetish territory of
fetish territory.
Turn that juice up a little bit more. Okay, keep it going. Does the slider have another slider?
Yes,
no.
There's another knob underneath that says Scott Steiner.
And then you go past Scott Steiner and you get to Ripping Friends.
Ripping Friends.
And then you go past Ripping Friends and you get to Stunt Dogs. And now we're at Stunt Dogs level, and they really, really didn't need to put Huge Quest in Street Fighter.
His arm is bigger than most of the cast.
Yeah.
More importantly, it's bigger than 4 of his heads.
Yes.
See, the issue
his
isn't
character
even...
His design looks deformed.
With the tires on his bicep.
So I like
the Canadian maple leaf hair. Like, those are fun.
Here's the thing. I'm working on a video why I like the thing on Final Fight, and I go, man, sure, it would be nice if we could get another Final Fight character.
I'll throw that video in the garbage.
No, I'll just go, like, look what they did. Anyway, so I like that it's an obscure Final Fight boss, like you said, and I like that, like, Abigail is just a fucking recolor of Honduras.
Thank you.
Hugo,
I'm not trying to douse the fire. I'm just trying to make sure that we recognize the part that's Abigail is a cool choice here. Let's not get lost in how dumb he looks.
And that they picked a guy that was simply like they could have taken Damned / Thrasher or Belger. Something at least a little, you know, people more remember.
I think the size was the most appealing reason as to why they went to Abigail was he was listed as 8 feet tall. And they wanted, they go, ooh, we can mechanically design something interesting.
That's interesting, kind of like Agonos.
Street Fighter V's Agonos.
Whereas Thrasher is a dreadlock black guy.
Yeah.
And he does blanka balls.
No, for sure, for sure.
Both of which we got rid of and or already have taken care of.
You were saying before there's like a rumor that maybe you can't jump over Abigail. There's
which
some
is
sort
not,
of
which has
prov-
been
disproven.
Did,
okay.
What, you jump through him? Like his,
well,
you
can't jump
his,
over
the
him.
The fact that his standing size was so high that your character height wouldn't be able to make over it was a rumor flying around, or that he couldn't be thrown, or that cross ups would hit so early that he could punish them. But either way, no.
So that's not a thing. But like, I do like, oh, let's make a character that's so massive. Like, yeah, it lends itself to being different. But like, the model itself is hideous. Like it people nailed it. And I was like, what does this remind me of? And they look like, it looks like a Bobo or a Bubo in the SNK Double Dragon fighter. That's who he looks like.
It looks like fucking the heavy ripoff that's in goddamn what's that game Randy Pitchford made?
Battleborn.
Sure, or like a weird Bane where your lats are bigger.
He looks like an image bruiser,
Bad Rock,
like
exactly.
Bad Rock or
yeah.
Pitch.
So the
way Lightfieldian nightmare.
The like image bruisers nightmare. Always had the same thing going for them, where they had a tiny head in the middle of a body that was like
massive.
A circle around their neck.
Yeah, Maul from
right?
Wildcats.
Shoulders up by their sides, but like, and you think about like the way like Marvel has like Juggernaut, for example, and Juggernaut's got this big ridiculous helmet, but
that balances out his body structure.
But you didn't really get that like super shrunken head and super tiny legs, and then again, stunt dogs' bodies, you know?
Simon Belmont.
That's, I think, the Captain issue. And then, so we already got some people shrinking the design down. The guy who did Hyper DBZ,
Hyper DBZ and one of the artists of Owlboy, you retweeted that one.
Exactly.
Right? Like, he's like, let's use the tire thing. Because I like the tires. I like the same Matt.
His intro where he comes in and he goes like vroom, vroom, vroom. And he hits the brakes. That's fun.
I like his stage. The music is good too. It's a nice
play long enough and the sun rises.
It's cool.
That's really cool. And you know, again, like I fully wouldn't have expected them to necessarily go back to Final Fight in that way. I really wouldn't have. And if the rumors are true, we're going to get Rose's student who showed up in Ed's story mode.
Yeah, along with Abigail a few weeks ago, like a month or two ago, there was like people were like, yeah, it's going to be Abigail from Street Fighter V. It's going to be Rose's student. And I think one more.
Yeah, the last one, Zeku.
Zeku, yeah.
The teacher that Guy has that shows up in his alpha ending where he wears green and he's got big white hair. It's pretty cool.
And with Abigail, like, that's the list then.
That's it.
Capcom's great at confirming leaks.
So, I mean, he's another pick that, like, I don't imagine people are going to be super excited for.
Who's Zeku?
But I think Zeku's a fucking awesome choice.
Yeah.
Zeku's a really cool character that I remember showing up. I'm like, oh, man, that guy.
I've wanted a Canadian Street Fighter for so long.
Well, that's why I want MapleStorm.
For so long.
Why can't MapleStorm be in the game?
And I finally get it, and it's the only one I'm ever going to get for sure.
What?
And it's Abigail. Like,
what do you mean?
Canadian Street Fighter.
He's not Canadian.
He's got a maple leaf mohawk.
But
he's
does
super
he? Does
Canadian.
It?
Yes. In his bio.
Wait, is this a bit?
Canada.
No.
Abigail's hyper Canadian.
Does it say in a bio?
Yes. His move is called the Ontario Drop.
I didn't see any of these details. I did not know about that at all.
Abigail is super Canadian.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So that's why
and
I'm
he's
like.
He's always been.
That's
Canadian.
Why I'm like, why are you saying this? We could have MapleStorm from the rest
of
the
world. No. His hair mohawk is a maple leaf.
You said that before, and I was like, oh, yeah, it probably looks like a maple leaf, I guess.
No. The whole bit is that he's like, he's a Canadian
I
giant
I did
man.
Not know.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the name of his moves or anything. I just watched the trailer.
One of his moves is called the Ontario Drop.
That's cool. This is a bummer.
Okay, so yeah, you haven't said anything. So
about Abigail. Well, you said it a little
I
bit.
Said what I needed to say.
All right.
Yeah. He looks like a fucking I like big characters. I like Hugo, right? I think Agonos is cool. But his body structure and his gameplay design, cool. The way he works, cool. The art, horrible.
Yeah.
Especially his win pose, where you see everything wrong with his head's model as he's got that super weird gummy smile that looks like absolute dog shit.
Yeah, yeah, the smile's not great.
And the alternate costumes look all right.
The alternate costumes help out. They do look a bit cool.
Yes, they do help out. But
okay, like, Rufus or Abigail?
Rufus.
Okay.
What, in terms of...
I'd rather have Rufus.
Okay, Abigail or Fong?
Fong over everybody. Fong's fine.
Okay.
I never had a problem with Fong.
Okay. Because I remember, like, I did warm up to Fong with a lot of his alternate costumes as well. I eventually did.
Fong's a weirdo, but he's...
And I warmed up to Rufus enough to be like, yep, yeah, well, I'm just used to it, you know?
Maybe I'm just used to it.
But I do imagine in the end we'll get used to Abigail because he's here and they really, really wanted those biceps to be genetic freak biceps. So...
And it's one of those things where it's like, it's not like they showed him early and he's coming out in like 3 months. He's like, he's coming out in like a week and a half. So it's like they can't even try to fix him if they wanted.
So yeah, I guess
that makes me sad.
Nostalgia costumes back after almost a year and a half of just not being talked about.
I wanted to discuss his mechanics, but does anyone care?
I mean, he punches and he does cool flips.
He's got a parry equivalent, right?
Yeah, they broke down his systems. Cool. There's some interesting stuff there, but if no one wants to talk about that, that's fine.
Well, why don't we talk about when he's out, then we can actually play around
he's
with
got
him.
He's got a mechanic where you pick him and the other player leaves.
So he's got, like, off of his command run, he has, like...
And then you leave.
What's interesting is that off of his armored command run, he has Big Ben-esque options where he's got the big hit, he's got the overhead, he's got the command grab, and he's got his parry. So when he's running at you, your options are very limited, and that's interesting.
I do like his super.
His super is really fun. And he juggles you like a speed bag.
I like that he's got a variation of Hugo's wall throw, but it's a slap instead of an actual throw.
And then he's got the move that came straight out of his final fight
where he just throws you,
picks
in the
you
air,
up, and you just
fall.
And
then you just fall.
Yeah, yeah. But no, again, so that whole, the idea of like the armor run and then the EX armor run taking two hits, and then it's like, okay, fuck, do I jump? Well, you're getting punched. Do I block it? You're getting thrown. Do I hit it? You're getting parried. Like, that's a cool little
game. It's like a weird, gigantic Hugo Forte.
Also, I can't wait to see what kind of ridiculous combos are only possible on Abigail.
Oh my god, it's good. He's probably going to be trash.
Well, the problem with giant characters in every game is that they get instant overheaded, you know? And if you have the ability to confirm that into anything, then it's free, right? Sentinel in Marvel was a disgusting beast, but he loses to people who just jump and hit a button a lot of the time.
Now, I don't know a lot, but what I'd like to think is that when a game is very, very structured around the competitive scene like Street Fighter V is, they would test that type of thing. They would have some type of thought behind it.
Desk,
when they make a giant character.
Desk has a boner right now.
Look, the biggest combo dummy ever.
The biggest training dummy of all time.
Just punch this wall. It's right
there. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. All right. Well, anyway. That got that got announced. The actual tournament itself, of course, I have to say, as much as Street Fighter V was going through a little down in the dumps period, I'm not going to say that this did it for everybody, but if you were there watching the finals, feeling that excitement, this brought it back a little bit, man. Tokido beating Punk was fucking incredible, dude. And like... the story in particular, if you weren't following it, was that, you know, after years of never having, like, an American really making it much further than, like, a couple placements into top eight, we get one in grand finals. And not only is he in grand finals, he's in grand finals with a perfect record.
Huh.
He didn't lose a single match throughout the entire
round.
Match.
Okay.
So you watch the whole record, like from him from the beginning of the tournament to grand finals, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. Like, and it was like he just won everything, destroyed everybody. And I remember we were at the point where like we're watching it and going like, okay, look, he's about to make Evo history if he 3-0s Tokido.
Mm-hmm.
If he's about to do that and he wins with a 3-0, I want him to get that. I want him to win.
He gets the
But if he loses one game, I want Tokido to take it. And mainly because Tokido is what we call always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Mm-hmm.
He has been in that second player seat fucking long.
He's like a double Mike Ross.
It's incredible.
He's four Mike Ross.
He's had so many top eight placements. I think he's had the most consistent top eight placement of like the tournament circuit for the last God knows how many years. And he never, ever fucking makes it past that second player seat, mm-hmm. that second spot, you know. And finally he had his year. And it's like, dude, you've worked so hard for this. I'm super happy he made it. And it was incredibly exciting to watch him do, like, to dismantle some stuff that, like, Punk was abusing, where he would, like, do his V-trigger to escape, and then, like, he was parrying the V-trigger mm-hmm. into a full punish. And it was like, whatever. The technical things that he was doing was incredibly impressive, and everyone watching it was, like, freaking out and losing our minds. And, of course, you're in an arena with 12,000 people. It's on ESPN. It was so exciting that you walked out of that going like, God fucking damn it, I want to play some Street Fighter right now.
The great thing about EVOs now is there's, I don't know for how many, probably forever, the tradition of looking at angry tweets of people yelling at yep. ESPN saying, get this garbage baby shit off my fucking sports channel.
Dumb nerds playing video games is not sports. That's always the best.
It's always the best.
I'm always happy with that. The other tradition I'm fond of is someone picking a character that's too sexy for TV, so they have to switch to the alternate costume.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tradition.
Can't show that girl's butthole on TV, guys.
What if a character on that's? What if there is no default costume?
Well, they
force them to change the character.
Cammy's default was there for the first game. But it was after the second game he changed it. Someone in a headset walked up on stage, and it was the same thing with Mika.
Yeah, no, I remember. But what if there's a character that has no other
then they play it out.
Costume?
It's like if the option is there, they
what
do
if,
it.
You're
if it's
basically
not there.
Saying, what if someone picked Laura?
They're not shutting it down. It's just, can you do that? That would help us not be a problem.
Can you please stop using that fucking Blanca costume? It's blinding the children.
Because or Nikali's hair, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But because the real issue isn't even like, it's not the too hot for TV-ness. It's the, if we don't have it up there, it's less likely that we're going to get complaints about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that preemptive thing, you know? Right. So, but anyway, that was fucking really hype. And I think, for a lot of people that were there.
Now that Bayonetta's a Disney princess, like anything can happen.
Why do people keep saying that? What is going on?
On the Disney Channel, they were showing the Smash fucking.
But they weren't showing like Bayonetta cutscenes or anything.
No, they did.
It's the dumbest stupid thing. But it's just that Disney XD aired Smash and Bayonetta won Smash.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the end of the joke.
Yeah.
Okay. So they weren't. Okay.
I know.
It's enough for me, though.
All right.
Like
Disney princess.
See, as someone who like I think it deserves more effort. Like saying fucking Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds is a Disney princess because Disney made that movie.
Uh huh.
So no, therefore,
Disney owned the company that made it.
Right, and so they acquired it, and then that makes her retroactively a Disney princess. And Coolio is like the fucking buddy monster character. So like that. Yeah, to me, you had to work a little bit to get there. It's more than just showing up on the
like
channel.
The lizard or you know? The Sebastian.
That's it. If you watch my reboot LP, I go into full detail about this.
I did not watch that.
That's fine. You don't have to. But I discuss her
Coolio.
As a. I discuss.
Is the buddy
is
gross
the, is
monster?
The, is the is the buddy animal side?
I discuss Dangerous Minds as a Disney property at length in my reboot LP. So. That's where I think you need to work a little bit to get there, not just show up on the TV station. But that's
you just show up.
So anyway, that was really cool, and I think people hopefully are a little bit more excited because I know I am. Now, let's get into some real news, shall we?
Real news, not this fake fighting game shit.
It's not stupid nerds. But then, you know what's even better?
What?
Is the other tweets that go, fuck, it's been an hour and I'm still watching. this is actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, there's a couple of turnaround. Like, even right? last year, there were a couple
And
of
there was that
things.
Old guy that just, he kept hashtagging made for TV game. Where he's just like, I don't know what it is, but this is really exciting to watch. It's like it was made perfectly for TV. Hashtag made for TV game.
Yeah, no, I vaguely remember that.
That dude was the best. Mm. And then like a bunch of people started, like top players and stuff started tweeting him, going like, yeah, get in there, you know. Anyway.
Love it. Stay here with us.
All right. So in the news, we covered the Trunks appearance, and we covered the Krillin and Piccolo. I'll put a link to it, but there is a Trunks trailer manga comparison video.
There is.
That is really good, so you can watch how not just the intro and the specials,
but everything.
Everything he does, and therefore everything every character does in this game, is probably sourced to a manga panel. Go watch
that. I saw a couple of them. When he was doing his slices followed by the palm blast.
Exactly.
That's the one that I was like, that's exactly the same.
Annihilating your fucking, like, your debris. That was super good. The Kingdom Hearts 3 news dropped, and they revealed Toy Story World.
Which looks great.
Well, it looks more than great. It looks like Toy Story.
It looks like...
It, like, without any degree of variation, is just Toy Story.
And finally, that claim that the PS2 would be able to render full Toy Story graphics has
by far
happened.
The weirdest part of that trailer is watching Sora and Gang in the Kingdom Hearts, whatever, battle system, like, fighting on this super photorealistic lawn. And it's
it like, wasn't it's, listening to Japanese Woody and Japanese...
Been there, done that.
Okay.
I've been there ages ago. Donald Duck is by far the weirdest to hear in Japanese.
Yeah, man.
I heard that back when the Kingdom Hearts came out.
So what do you think happens when this gets translated?
What do you mean?
To Japanese?
To English.
Well, they'll get Tim Allen, but will they won't get Tom Hanks.
Like, will they actually?
They'll get Tim Allen, but they won't get Tom Hanks.
There has been Toy Story games like on later systems that would have voice work. They'll get
Cliff from
they
Cheers.
They could get sound alike.
If he's still alive.
I wonder if they will.
Yeah, he's dead.
Cliff's dead.
That's true. Tom Hanks will not be voicing a fucking Square Enix game.
Like, okay, Tom. All right. You're gonna have to say the word "heartless"
a lot
as a creature.
Maybe if his hip hop son convinces everybody.
Wait, Tom Hanks is a hip hop son?
He has a hip hop son. Chet Hayes. He calls himself Chet Hanks because Chet Hanks is... He doesn't want to establish himself. He doesn't want to establish himself on his dad's name, so...
I saw some people saying, like, this is a huge missed opportunity, Toy Story World, because Sora should just be his PlayArts Kai figure.
That would be good.
That would be perfect marketing synergy there.
That would be good. But yeah!
He'd always topple over because fucking PlayArts Kais are balanced shit.
So they showed that, and then they also, in the middle of that, there was a little bit of an interview where they said, hey, it sounds like...
Why did it take so long?
Final Fantasy VII's remake is a little bit further along than you think.
Wait, really?
Yeah. A lot of the cutscenes and stuff are already done.
That's
okay.
Weird, because I don't believe that.
Well,
that's the weird part.
Also,
you don't have to believe anything.
Also, a lot of people
put
don't
their
believe
words.
That Kingdom Hearts 3 is even going to release next year.
But I mean,
like, that date's a lie.
2018 is the launch date.
Square Enix's development cycles tend to be a little fucky. So
you don't have to believe anything. I'm just saying what the dude said. You know,
you saw that too, where a guy was like, "If Kingdom Hearts 3 actually releases in 2018, I'll buy everyone a copy, and it has like 15,000." Keep an eye on that guy.
An idiot. But he's gotten lots of retweets.
So we're idiots.
18 million McNuggets. Is that what we're going for again?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Not McNuggets. Whatever. Fucking
whatever.
Wendy's. Windjammers.
August 29th?
Can't believe it's happening, but it's actually happening on August 29th.
But they did say summer 2018 last year, so they did it.
And yes, we can talk about the fact that besides Abigail, there is the Pro Tour Capcom stage in Street Fighter V alongside the nostalgic costumes. And the Ken looks pretty classy. I love that.
I like that.
He's basically like Edgeworthing it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Or like Apollo.
There is the Guile that is the Capcom Pro Guile. Champion's Choice?
I don't know.
Well, here's so here's the thing.
So the screenshot Willie's looking at is a little weird because I thought for a second they added this black van that drives along the Street Fighter V stages advertising internet deals.
Imagine you're playing Street Fighter and it starts doing that Fox thing where you see like someone from Guilty Gear, like you see like Soul Bad Guy walking along the bottom of the frame going, up next, Guilty Gear. You want to play Exerd, huh?
You want to play click this Dragon link. Ball Fighters.
Click this instead. Link right here to play Exerd. I'm right here.
That's somehow guilty.
I'll make your dick bigger, too.
All right, I'm fading away now.
Arxis programs ads into Street Fighter games?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't think anything will ever beat when Family Guy knew the exact moment of the show that was scheduled to happen and actually fucking reacted to it. There's an episode where it happens and someone walks in to advertise something and they all go, oh, yeah, okay, no, let's just have this right here in the middle of our thing. And they just fucking call it out right there, man. In the show because they knew it was going to happen. It was great.
That's genuinely pretty good.
But anyway, the Guile costume, what's worth noting is that's the one designed by Knuckledoo. Because Knuckledoo won the Capcom Cup last year in the same way that Kazunoko won the first year and designed Nikali.
A tactical army vest fatigues.
So, and the parachute thing. Yeah, so the Nikali Super Samurai outfit was...
Cyber Squad.
Was the first year. This is Knuckledoo's design. Could have been more exciting, but
sure.
Whatever.
Sure could have been.
Kanzuki Family Stadium. And then there's the old school Suzaku Castle.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Looks pretty good. I like it a lot more than I like the Smash version. I think it looks a lot cooler.
Well, I think it requires, the platform should crumble, I think, in this version. Platform should crumble away. There should be items.
While you're fighting, yeah.
Should win things.
There's a camera that zooms out and shows you, the full thing, and it's glorious. It's one
look how a thousand times better Alex looks.
So I wanted to ask you about this personally, Matt, because I know the most you're invested in this is based on the Alex nostalgic costume, right? Yeah. Now, to me, at a glance... It's extremely similar to what we got, minus suspenders in the shirt and the hair doing the fries thing, right?
Mm.
So is that, I guess,
I would have been really happy with that if that was okay. The default look.
Because it's not as big a deal to me because I think the t-shirt looked all right. And the suspenders looked all right.
Here's the difference. I know it's
so,
minor.
Because it's so subtle, you know?
Here's the difference. I know it's minor. But if his Street Fighter V default they came with was an alternate costume, I'm fine with that. But the fact that they already had a really good design and that they modeled it perfectly here is like... I know. It's like have characters have new bits of costumes.
They wanted to change it up for the future.
That's fine. But so many characters have not had updates to their costumes.
Right. But I think we all universally love the fact that Yurian's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Right?
Because we've seen that before.
Yeah.
So, and we always thought it was cool because you can never fight as it. But I think it's just generally Alex's default Street Fighter V will always look worse than this just based on hair alone. And that it's shittily modeled.
The hair is the weak part. I can't pretend it's not. This classic hair looks better. But everything else about him, I thought, just looked way cooler in the newer model because it also showed time, you know? And I'm always a fan of that. In the same way, I'm a fan of Ibuki looking like the schoolgirl hybrid because we know she has the schoolgirl outfit. We know she's got the ninja thing. And then they brought them together. And I like that fusion of the two.
I think it's good to have Juri back in that costume.
Minus her weird face, though.
I hate all her Street Fighter V costumes.
I agree.
I love Juri's new costume, but I love the old one, too. I like them both. And it's cool to have the choice.
They should do, right? They should have her original design as a costume.
Yes, they should. I 1,000% support that. That being said, the new motorcycle outfit is fucking dope. I don't know what you're talking about. I love it. I don't think I've seen that one. No, it's her default in 5.
That one's terrible.
She's wearing motorcycle tights.
Awful.
It's terrible.
Ah, you're crazy.
It's tacky, super villain shit.
That's fine an alternate costume that you could take, but as her default, I think it's a step back from her, that costume.
It's fucking trash.
Nah, you're crazy. It's awesome.
I guess I am.
I guess I'm crazy.
So there's all that fighting game stuff. Oh, It's a mini little thing.
I hate that costume.
But it's nice to know.
I'm so crazy.
Eat some fruits.
Let me know how crazy.
Go eat some fucking fruits, huh?
Oh.
Someone's upset.
The Magitek exosuits are finally coming out.
It's not Power Rangers.
It's not Power Rangers.
They figured something out, and I don't know what it is. But
somebody gave Sabana a handjob.
I think somebody gave Sabana a chop under the table, and now we're finally.
Like, that's all
them.
It takes for Sabana to be like, "Yeah."
It's the only reason I keep these stupid licensing rights around.
For pocket handjobs,
so you can jump back in to get your Super Power Ranger Noctis.
I'm okay.
I'm fine.
Cool. Well, it's there though.
Sure is.
It's still crazy.
Because that thing was announced like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
They're just costumes. There's things associated with
they're the complete opposite of just costumes.
No, I know. But I'm just mean like why like they announced it like 6 months ago.
Do you know what they do?
For it to come out? Not exactly, but they do stuff.
They make you invincible for half an hour. And they boost your fishing skills. You can only use them once every 24 hours.
That's fine.
They boost my fishing?
They boost your fishing.
Wow.
Hey, did you guys see that the guys making Project M had a game that they announced?
Yeah, it looks
terrible. I
heard
about it. Does it?
So
well, when animations are just stolen from Smash?
Well, it's important that they get the feel right.
So that was a story that came out, was like they stole some animations from Smash, I heard. And I heard that was based...
Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer, and yeah, it's Icons Combat Arena.
That's probably in my top 10 of worst names ever.
So it sounds like, yes, yeah, so basically the fact that everything that these guys work on is like...
Oh my god,
So their whole thing is we want things to be frame perfect and feel perfectly good.
That's
because
fine.
They were always really, really like anal about... Project M stuff, you know? I'm making sure that it feels good for like people that are at a top level of Smash. So they're working on this game, but
oh my god.
I guess since we're not top Smash players,
I can see the stolenness. I don't need to be a top Smash player to see the stolen.
Well, cuz I remember I asked someone who plays Smash quite well about like what do you think of Rivals of Aether? And he's like, "Yeah, it's okay in the sense that it's better than the really terrible Smash clones,
right?
But I'm not super crazy about it." And I was like, "Oh, that sucks," because I thought Rivals of Aether was really, really cool. But this now is definitely going to have all the things that mechanically really good Smash players want. But since we're not those people, we can just look at it and go, "Well, okay, what do we have to go on? Let's talk about what we see." The art style.
Look at this logo. That's not Overwatch.
The art style is definitely
awful.
MOBA.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of the thing, aside from like maybe animations being taken, is that it looks just so generic.
That's probably the biggest mistake going in is...
I think the biggest mistake was naming their company Wave Dash.
I think that's awesome. I disagree.
Fine.
I love that idea.
Because it associates their name with Melee.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot I was talking.
Yeah, thank you.
I forgot I was talking.
To a crazy person.
I thought I was talking to a person. I forgot.
Yeah.
Guess I'm crazy.
But anyway.
Not a crazy.
So, and some of the levels definitely, they got that little Fusion Frenzy kind of like...
trashy look to them.
It just sort of vaguely sci-fi, vaguely fantasy.
The head effects are super, super weird.
And that's a bit unfortunate, I guess, because...
The game's still early. And it's also free to play.
Is it? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. You can find out more.
Like, I think that there's a lot of work put into this, and that it's like, yeah, it's complete, like, you know, different characters or whatever.
It's
like,
rough.
There's a lot of work put in, but I'm just like, a lot of work put into something that, like, still kind of looks, like, generic.
Well, it's rough because, like, you need, I think, a bold... art
thing,
style
something.
Choice whatever, you know, and it's not necessarily that it's pixels or not pixels, because I mean, like, that is not why Rivals of Aether is really good. I think Rivals of Aether's characters are really awesome designs,
really unique. Yeah,
Krag is one of my favorites, like,
yeah,
super good.
And fucking who's in it, I told you, Ori
from Ori and the Blind Forest is in there now. Yeah, but like Force Burn and all those little like fucking flame lions and stuff, like, they have some really interesting shit going on in that, and you know, there's other Smash clones that don't, And I think this is just kind of falling into that category, and that's unfortunate. So
I'm really glad that Wave Dash has put some work in to show everyone that when you take away all the, you know, nostalgia and all the crossover stuff that Smash is associated with, you can show everyone just how unenjoyable and toxic Melee is without any of that stuff.
As a video game.
Yes.
Cool. And, of course, hot off the presses.
Hottest news.
Is the Disaster Artist trailer.
Oh, boy.
So
let's watch it again.
We all crowded around a phone to watch it earlier today. Yeah, yeah. The Disaster Artist trailer is really, really great.
So, for those that don't know, this is Seth Rogen and Franco's movie about the making of The Room. And the first trailer is pretty strong.
Well, I think it does a really great job setting up and establishing why and how this movie got to be made.
It does.
Because, like, the trailer just, it's like, anyway.
There's a moment of understanding that comes with just the trailer of like, oh, so that's how some of that shit makes sense in terms of production.
Exactly. And his costume looks fantastic. He fucking looks like Tommy Wiseau. So
the guy that's playing Greg looks like he had makeup to make himself look like Greg Mark.
He looks like the porn version of Greg.
porn Greg Sestero.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's really funny. Can't wait.
I think Seth Rogen made a tweet the other day, like, this is my favorite thing we've ever done.
Yes. Yes. Can't wait to see what role actual Tommy plays.
Yeah.
Since we know he's there. It's pretty
funny. Yeah, what the...
He's in the movie, man.
Yeah, he has, like,
a cameo role.
He has a cameo role. So, yeah, it's coming out in December, prime Oscar time.
I hope he's, like, street weirdo.
Save the date. And last but not least, there was a console announcement over the weekend.
I guess.
Well, it's the Atari box.
Okay.
It's got wood paneling.
It does.
I don't know about you guys. I don't know where you stand. I had an Atari 2600. I have no desire to replay any games on the Atari.
No, there's nothing on it I particularly want to play. And I have them on my arcade cabinet.
Yeah. I mean, I have good memories of playing even a few, then, but...
I mean, even though, like, that's not like it's a great excuse.
Are those in heavy rotation?
Not really. No. And it's not a great excuse either. It's like, oh yeah, you have them on a fucking MAME thing. But
what a hero.
You know, I just I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
But it's cool that it's out there for people that really
does
do want this.
Pac-Man on it?
Because guess what? If I was born a decade before, I probably would have been like, yeah. You know? I really do think it's just an age thing.
They do not have a list of games, but they said it would actually support new games.
Oh, it's one of those, huh?
I think it's an age thing. But it's also an Infogrames thing.
Is it?
Fuck Infogrames.
I think
old people are out of touch and don't know what's good.
Did you miss that episode? When we talked about this,
Atari
this
and Infogrames.
News? You might have missed it.
No, I know, but... Like, do they have something to do with this release of this console, like, specifically?
It's the same company.
Okay.
It's Atari.
I just mean, like, did they hire some, like, manufacturer to, like, make all this them for them, and they just license out the Atari name? Like, or is it actually, like, the program / Atari's putting this
out? The entity currently known as Atari that's been known as Atari for perhaps the last 10 years
is
Infogrames.
Yeah, okay.
The Atari Ouya.
For a second, I forgot what that was. The second word you said. I actually forgot what it was for a little bit.
It's a console that has to get exorcised by ghosts.
You need a priest to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Any priest?
It's like a big, heavy cube that tries to kill you.
Do you need a special priest?
Yeah, you need like a Catholic priest. Only Catholic priests are strong enough to defeat the Ouya.
Yeah, you gotta throw a bunch of rosaries at it and smash them on the top with a hammer.
That's not bad. I don't mind that.
Say three or four Hail Marys over your Ouya.
If you want to send in some prayers
for to for the funeral of your Ouya.
Oh, I can fucking see the morning catching up with you right now, Wooly. It's bad.
No, I think he's just like, hey, we're almost done.
Superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
If you want to send in pro tips about exercising your consoles via a hammer,
Catholic.
A hammer and some holy water and maybe a couple rosemary, what's it called? Rosaries. Then you'd send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Might sound a little
and your
something.
Prayers might sound
hey,
like
what's,
that.
Hey, well, you know stuff, but I don't know this stuff. What's the incense called that the priests like swing around?
I thought
frankincense.
It was called frankincense.
Why is it called frankincense?
Well, myrrh.
Is it very straightforward with you?
Well, first of all, I'm not
Frank.
It's terrible. I'm not Catholic, so
yeah,
we didn't practice those things.
I know, but you tend to know a bunch of bullshit about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes from the three wise men and the shit they brought with them.
Yeah, they're like, hey, check this out.
Check out this Ouya.
Just blow a cloud of smoke into this baby's face. And then smash it with an Ouya, I guess.
Basically.
Oh, the baby's
it's like
totally
the,
fine.
The fourth wise man shows up. He's like, you want this Android box?
Yeah, and Jesus is like, no, oh, thanks, and he sent it
man.
To the future away from him.
Yeah, baby Jesus opened up a portal to blight the world with the Ouya.
Now I just have a weird image of Snoop Dogg as one of the three wise men with an Ouya in one hand and a blunt in the other, and he's just blowing weed smoke into baby Jesus' manger.
Yeah. Well, baby Jesus has his buddy monster partner, Coolio.
Esau traded away his Ouya for a blessing, for his firstborn blessing. That's what it was about.
The three gifts we gave to baby Jesus as the wise men. It was weed, an Ouya, and a monster cable.
Did you know about that shit, by the way? While we're on this, though, we're on this.
Did you know about that monster cable stuff with Jesus?
What's that?
Did you know that Jacob and Esau, who were brothers, Esau was the tough firstborn.
The tough guy.
And Jacob, and like...
He's a tough, angry single.
And fucking, he had the firstborn blessing.
Yeah.
But his mother and Jacob conspired that they would get... the blessing for Jacob because they didn't want Esau to get it.
That's right.
And so what they did was they spent basically their entire lives running a fucking hustle so that they wouldn't be able to get him to get the blessing by like he went out to hunt one day and he came back and he was super tired and then Jacob started making this pot of lentil soup and he made it smell super delicious.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh dude, I'm super thirsty and hungry, bro. You got to feed me some soup. And he's like, I don't know. What do you got for me? And he's like, dude, just give me some soup, man. And he's like, well, you got that first run blessing? And he's like, yeah, fucking.
Wait, no.
He's like, yeah, you can have it. You can have my fucking blessing. I just want some soup.
Just make yourself some fucking food, Jacob.
And he fucking traded up his blessing for some soup.
That's like Bart trading away his fucking soul for like what?
What? No, it was like water sponges.
It was a bunch of bullshit.
No, it was
like $5. Then he bought T-Rex sponges with it.
No, and it's squirting funny smelling water on
and
me.
And then Isaac, who was like super blind and old and whatever, was like, okay, well, I want to also give you your prayer or your special thing.
Wow, okay.
It was another type of blessing. It was a different type of blessing.
It was a gogi.
And he basically was like, you got to come in and I got to touch you to give it to you, you know. And then they're like, okay, cool. So when is he gonna do that? He's like, okay, I'm gonna give it to him tomorrow. She's like, cool. Yeah. So
tomorrow.
So then Jacob's mom goes, and he goes, yo, your brother's about to get his super sick blessing.
His miracle go.
His miracle blessing, where like he touches you and he fucking puts the magic in you, right?
Right.
He's about to get that tomorrow. So what you need to do is fucking. You need to like get that. You need to go send him away to be like, yo, go fucking go chill, go do your thing or whatever.
Okay.
And while he's out, you need to dress up as Esau.
They'll have costumes.
And go in and get that
There's
blessing.
No makeup. They can't put,
and they're
and
like,
shit.
How the
they
fuck's that gonna happen?
They can't put a Groucho Marx mask
so
on.
So because Esau is the big like hairy hunter strong guy,
yeah.
And Isaac fucking loved him because of that.
That's
he was
bullshit.
And Jacob wasn't that guy, then he's like, okay, get some fucking lamb fur and put it on your body. and he puts lamb fur on his body and his and fakes a beard, and he walks in, and then Isaac's like, "Yo,
what about his voice?
Yo, Esau, is that yeah?" So he heard him. He's like, "Is that you, my son?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's me." He's like, "That don't sound like you. Come over here." And
let me rub your fur.
And then he touches him, and he feels the fur, and then he touches him, and he feels the beard, and he goes, "I don't know. But I guess it's you, though. Here's that blessing." And he fucking gets it. And Jacob's like, "Yeah.
What a hustle."
He fucking stole it twice.
Ill-begotten blessing.
And then Esau was like, "I'm going to kill you." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. That's true.
That's fair.
That's
I don't."
And he fucking, and his brother, and then he pieced the fuck out. And his mom was like, "All right, I'm going to hide you in the trunk. And we're driving out.
Car.
Wait,
and
what?
Well, she sent him out of town to peace out because she was just like, "I can't stop your brother from trying to kill you because you know what? You deserve that shit.
But you, I can't
help
me.
You helped though, bitch.
But you help. But I can just say, like, go wait till the heat dies down, and he doesn't want to kill you anymore, and then it's gonna be great. It'll be fine. No problem."
So this collusion. So yeah. What you're saying is like early Bible stories are basically the FGC.
Basically, because you know, as we all
everyone's
know,
everyone's just trying to get over.
Because this is the same Jacob
that pot.
He went on to form the fucking like the entire Israelite nation. You know, and like. Wait,
who did?
It was part of Jacob.
Jacob the Hustler.
And fuck, it's same guy that, like, you know, he, like, as we know, later on, hustled with an angel that he wouldn't let go.
Why is he
was
so,
like,
obsessed with blessing?
Because he fucking needs it, bro.
Why do you need so many blessings?
When he smells a blessing, he's going to get it. And if he's dreaming and a ladder is there and an angel's like going up top, he's like, "I know you got that blessing though.
Jacob, you have so many blessings. Can everyone else just have a blessing, maybe?"
No one can have a blessing.
No, you have all the Jacob.
He will lie, cheat, and steal as much as possible to get that fucking blessing, though.
You need to make a chart of all the biblical heroes and say what fighting game like companies would sponsor who. Like fucking Jacob sponsored by Red Bull.
Yeah. Echo Fox and Sal.
Isaac E.G.
Dude, it is real. He fucking went hard.
That's good.
He went ham for it. But anyway.
It's been a long time since we've had these stories, so thank you.
Yeah. And if you're wondering how it turns out, Jacob eventually becomes like super successful and prosperous and rich, as does Esau. And then he kind
of
goes,
blessings.
and he's the leader of his land. And Esau makes his own like the Ammonites or whatever, like his own tribe of people.
Yeah,
and
he later, starts playing anime fighters.
And later on, he's just like, "Hey, brah, like, why don't we remember how like I fucking stole all your shit? I'm sorry about that. How about we make up and stuff?" And Esau's like,
"Steals
go fuck yourself." But I'm not going to keep trying to kill you. How about that?
Well,
all right?
All's well that ends well.
Not really. I still hate your guts and you're still full of shit. Fuck you. But I'm not trying to take your life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the beef was kind of...
That's real.
Less intense.
Our first question comes from one Eli.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Plague.
He says, "I got a question I'm sure you asswads will like. Out of all the fighting game settings, which one has the most coherent and not stupid story? Because fuck, they're all really stupid." This was prompted by me having Guilty Gear's name explained to me, by the way.
Oh, that is
not,
so actually.
Not, well, we were giving props to Arc System before.
Not any of their games.
Not any of their games.
I'm going to go with something easy like Samurai Showdown or Last Blade.
The Troubles are a pretty good reason to have a story.
I think Mortal Kombat's actually strangely pretty straightforward. Mortal Kombat 9 throw is a thing in the mix because it's like a canon dream match.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's easy to follow.
Virtua Fighter has a story, I guess.
But it's hard to piece
it together. KOF 95 through 97.
Yeah, okay. Throughout a certain amount of years, but after that.
But even they get complicated by the Rugal wanting to turn you into a statue.
Soul Calibur okay?
But the fighting
depends
tournament
how far you
is
go
usually
in.
Fine.
The problem is the
Primal
fighting.
Rage, like Earth... is now Earth.
I think you'd need multiple games to say enough.
No. Skullgirls is pretty complicated, but it's pretty involved. It's not a bad one, but it's all over the place a little bit. I don't know.
Mace, the Dark Age.
I don't know if there's any that are actually really just good. And that's why one day I'd hopefully like to make one. And it wouldn't... You know how you make a good one? You just make it a televised fighting event.
Yeah.
That's it.
CBS 2.
There's nothing else going on.
Tekken Tag 2.
You fight for money and fame and glory, and it's on TV, and that's
all we
got.
These fighters showed up, and they're badasses, and that's it.
The end.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks, because I thought there'd be something.
Maybe Buriki won, because that's what that is, and then at the end, the big... It's basically Grappler Backy.
Yeah.
So the big final like tournament leader guy, it's like, that's actually your dad. Oh, fuck. A little bit, but...
I'd say Killer Instinct would be a decent like thing, but with the modern one kind of being a weird reboot, it fucks it all up. But 1 and 2 are easy enough to parse.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. Not really is the answer. The answer is not
amazing.
Really. Let's take one from Matthew. Matthew.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey.
He says, I have a quest for Pat. Has he ever heard of the comic Biohazard the Tune?
The Tune?
It's a four-coma take on the Resident Evil series. It's a webcomic, and I think you'd like it because as
I
a fan
not.
Of the series, it pokes fun in a weird way at players who played that game. It might be official from Capcom because it's actually on their official website at capcomco.jp.
Can you spell the tune like T-O-O-N?
Yeah. And if you want to find the comic, you may have to use Google image searches, but it
I
is out there.
I've never heard of that. No.
And he sent a little link, Biohazard the Tune.
Huh.
So you can check that out. And it seems to be some sort of little...
Let me see a photo of this. I've super never seen that.
Yeah, it's an official Biohazard 4 coma series.
Wee.
And it's done in English with translations on the side because it's Resident Evil.
Of course.
That's interesting. So, yeah, check it out.
Wait, is that English or English?
English, probably.
Awesome.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, man.
We got one coming in from Adam, and he says, just thought I'd give you an update on that novelty SNES fighting game that they released an
it's
actual
terrible.
Cart for this month called Unholy Night. Did you play it?
I didn't play it, but I looked at a lot of videos and reviews, and all of them were like, it's terrible.
As you might expect, it's terrible.
It doesn't actually say that.
Yeah, it super says that. That's fucking great.
First of all, the SNES can barely run the game, so it runs at something like 20 FPS or less.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Super inconsistent. They've also timed the flashing of projectiles for 60 FPS or something, so it means you can't actually see the projectiles coming at you sometimes. Oh, they'll flicker out and then on for a single frame. The translation is bad, but not in the charming haha old retro games have bad translations way. Just fuck it, we're throwing it through Google.
But that could still be funny.
It came with a manual that would be absolute gibberish if there weren't characters with pages and inputs on them. There's probably a larger fighting game enthusiast that can find more bad things about it, but I'm not the biggest FG guy. Why the hell did I buy it?
Because it's a novelty. Well, he does that thing that I hate that we played on a couple fisticuffs like a few months ago where the backgrounds are just photos of real places just recolored and like rejiggered.
Save some money.
He hates that shit.
Hustle where you can hustle it. Get that blessing. They're super cross Evo cast. So many what the fuck surprises at Evo, but Blaze Blue cross tag battle.
I like Babel.
You said it right the first
time. Well, here's the funny part is, did you hear the announcer at the end of that trailer? She says Blaze Blue.
Oh,
so it's a reminder that everyone is just deliberately saying it wrong because the official way to say it is dumber. No one says it the right way. No one says Blaze Blue.
It's a reminder that the person
who Blaz
wrote the
Blue.
Title.
It's not. It's spelled Blaze Blue.
It's a reminder.
But I should say Blaze Blue.
Because that's the word we expect it to be as English speakers.
It's a reminder that whoever created the title for that is an asshole.
Yeah.
Sure. Samurai Showdown is still Samurai Showdown. It's not Samurai Showdown.
Oh, really quickly, I forgot to talk about that. Samurai Showdown 4 or 5, whatever, special, was announced to come out on PS4.
Yeah.
With online play that won't work.
Yeah, it's been ported a couple times. They're porting it again. That's cool. But it's Blaze Blue is the correct way to say
it. That's worse than I thought.
And anytime anyone wants to get on cases about anything, if you say the word Blaze Blue and you don't pronounce it Blay, you're just in denial. Remember that.
Or you have a functioning brain.
I want it, that E to be there.
Yeah.
I want it to be there very badly, but it's not. And not only is it not there, but that announcer says what she's going to say.
Yeah. She can say whatever the fuck she wants.
She can. Yes.
So,
won my ass. How about that? Fuck y'all.
Cross tag battle was the biggest deal to me. It had such a ridiculous roster potential since they're MVC2ing it and dumping sprites from each game that they did. And it would be really cool if we saw someone like Joker. Ruby being part of the roster is really exciting, assuming it's not just Ruby Rose. Is this the smartest crossover fighting game to ever exist?
I guess
I still think Brawl is the biggest deal.
I guess it's the smartest in that they're doing what we said, which is like just take all these old sprites and you're basically maximizing the fucking profits on this because it's not going to cost a lot, except for Ruby being, you know, new sprites. But
yeah, there's going to be other new stuff in there for sure.
I mean,
would never happen because of like licensing and legal things, but it'd be fun if Dengeki Bunko characters could get in as well.
Oh, I think it's just Under Night and Birth, yeah.
Yeah, but like, or like, even like, if they wanted to pull some Melty Blood, the sprites are not the same style, but you know, they could go all in with the whole French bread Examu soft circle stuff.
So I think it's the smartest in that it's frugal, and then like it's a good usage of all of the work that they've done previously. But like the smartest, like in terms of like, I don't think there's be outside of anime fan fighters. I don't see a lot of people more clamoring to get in on this.
Some Nature Plus blasters, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I still say Brawl is the big one, because at the end of the day, Mario, Sonic, Mega Man, Snake, like, that's a fucking
legendary. If only you could get the people legendary that were missing from that into Smash 4, then you'd have Ryu versus Snake and shit like that.
And I mean, and like, if not Snake, then a Belmont, you know? But...
Yeah.
We got one coming in.
Did you watch Castlevania, Pat?
I did not, no.
Okay. Do you plan to?
I am. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think the oh shit moment that Brawl was is going to be my highlight, because it's also the first time that ever happened
to that level. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's special too. Like, you can't really take that away. Kind of like the first time we saw Twilight Princess, or the first time we saw, you know, like any of those like crowd reaction Nintendo trailers, basically, right? We got one coming in. Actually, no, we'll just pass over that because we talked about icons already. Basically, it's just like, hey, how do you think about the way icons looks? And it's like, well, yeah, it looks kind of like not great in the visual sense. Hey, Brad Friend, simple questions. Have you ever not wanted to see something? This is coming from Zay. Have you ever wanted to not see something?
Yes,
because its popularity apexed to a point where you could only be disappointed. Yeah, we talk about this all the time. In fact, I did it earlier this podcast. Everyone keeps talking as if Gurren Lagann is the second coming of Christ itself, to the point where it's literally killed my desire to watch it. Mm-hmm. And now it can never live up to my expectations. Can a fan base ruin a series for you?
Oh yeah.
I think Gurren Lagann is one of those things where I'm like, it could certainly not still do that. It could certainly exceed your expectations, perhaps, but
Look, man, like, especially the longer you wait in some of these situations, the worse it gets, right? And like I know, because I've gotten used to coming in late to the party on a lot of things, what I have to mentally prepare myself to do, which is just like cut it all out and ignore it.
Yeah, so because we have relatively like we're somewhat popular on social media. People talk to us, right? We encounter this at a hyper accelerated rate compared to the average person.
Yes.
I had this happen to me with Undertale.
Undertale is the most notable example in years.
And I saw that happen to Matt and Liam with Undertale during the LP, where people like went nuts, like, you have to play it, you have to play it. I remember Cranky was like, you have to play it, right?
Slow Beef was saying,
yeah, pushing it to you.
Burn down all your other LPs.
I remember I was playing games, and just from every fucking angle, it's like, oh my god, it's the most amazing thing ever. And it's like, I'm... Like,
if your disposition in life tends to be cynical, then before you get to the product, you're gonna have that disposition.
There's two ways I can go about that, right? And there's the way I was like, ooh, I better check this out. Or, man, fuck that thing, right? And luckily with Undertale, I was about in the middle, but like, I resented the people who recommended it to me because they damaged it for me.
Yeah.
Because I went in expecting something.
Right. And, you know, and this was like, it happened like, I think it's like a couple podcasts ago, where I was like, oh, try not to overhype things. Hyperbole is bad. And then I was like, oh my God, whatever.
Dragon Ball Attack Z on Titan, is the greatest thing in the world.
You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, because we get excited by things we like. And here's what it is. Welcome to the difficulty of conveying immense excitement in something without robbing others by telling them what to feel in advance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a difficult thing to do. I don't know how to say I'm really excited about Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I personally had so much fun with it without also telling you, like, therefore, well, you must go and have fun with it on the level that I...
Willie,
like,
why are you trying to hype Plague up only to get him disappointed? You know he doesn't like fighting games.
Right, or whatever the case may be. Or, like, me loving those moments in Attack on Titan, and then, like, you know, someone's like, dude, Attack on Titan Season 2 was fucking nothing. And I was just like, okay. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do.
Why do you suck so
in those examples? Because it's tough. It's hard to really, like,
so bad?
Be honest about, like, I really loved this thing so much. But
sucking.
I know that part of why I loved it was because I didn't expect to. So for me to put that out there for you now, where you're coming in expecting to like it, it can't possibly hit that same angle.
When I think it was, like, I don't know, a couple months ago, we were talking about the latest volume of Saga to come out, and we were just like, I was like, Saga is one of the best fictions I've ever read.
It is.
And then, like, you know, for me or whatever, and then, like, so people were like, are you serious? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, for me, I am serious,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Like, I know that is a big statement, but, like... It's
dude.
True.
And, you know, look, we live in... We're, like,
you too, I think.
We live and are surrounded by... It is. And we live and are surrounded by, like, yeah, plebeian tastes and opinion, blah, da, 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 da. You guys are scrubs. You haven't watched enough things. You don't know if about this or that. And that's fine. That's fine.
And that's mostly always correct.
So it gets annoying to do it, but you can only disclaim your statements as, this is how I feel so often. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to sometimes say, oh, my God, this is the best, as a way of speaking.
And
you know, and like personally, I do try to like regulate to some degree so that you're very clear that what I say is my opinion and it's not an empirical
fact. But there's certain things. If certain things hit you the right way, you'll be like, nah, fuck that. Limiters are off.
Let me tell you why you're wrong. Right? Yeah. It was the statement I loved. So that's what it is. And it's the same thing with negative things where personally I like to go, look, I don't have enough information about this. I need to know more. And if I do know enough, then I can go, yeah, that sucks. That's garbage. You know?
When I said earlier, I'm like, I was really disappointed by Baby Driver, but it's still a well-made movie that if people like are like, I liked it, I'm like, I can't tell you that you didn't.
Yeah.
I was just personally just like let down.
So I guess it's just all to say that like that can happen, and Gurren Lagann is a fantastic anime that like if you like any of the like elements it's made up of, which is like mecha and like gar hypeness and you know just like motivation,
and
then you will enjoy
you,
those things.
You were the one that hyped me up. You said like two things. You're like, dude, just watch this. Trust me, just watch it. And then either before or after that, when I was still either watching it, hadn't completed it yet, you were like, you said something like, it's the greatest. Okay, yeah, no, I'm gonna stop right there. Like you kind of like caught yourself.
I reeled it in.
But you did start it off by saying, just watch this. I remember watching like the first two episodes. I'm like,
yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a succinct anime. And when I finished it, I was like, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. So,
yeah. And that's all there is to say is that, like, if you ever catch us sounding hypocritical by trying to go, like, try not to spoil this for people or don't overhype it or don't go into hyperbole because people then expect too much, but then we get excited about something else. This is the struggle. It is difficult, and I don't know what the right approach is, but I'm going to do that sometimes.
The right approach is to fuck it.
Just say who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought...
No. That is the simple way.
Yeah, man.
That is the simple way, but...
Here's the simple way to believe... Here's my way of dealing with it. You ready? I'm right. If I thought it was the best, then it is the best. And if you don't think that, I'm sorry that you have such bad taste.
I mean... Right.
Done.
That's hilarious, but... That's one way to live life.
Any other questions?
You're right until you...
That jury costume's awful.
You're right until you run out of fruits and vegetables. I'm going to have a little fun.
Oh, I know.
Okay, good. Because you would have fun with me.
Oh, yeah.
Insect bites, etc. Oh,
yeah. I was about to say, remember when Willie almost died?
So you're not allowed to get salty.
Here's the part.
You're not allowed to get salty.
I'm not salty. I'm confused.
Okay.
Because the part that I don't get is that... Here's the deal. I thought it would be way more embarrassing that, like, I was so full of shit that my body started to, like, damage itself. But you have instead decided to focus on the scurvy aspect, which isn't actually
it's
even...
That's not a part of it.
But, like, that's the part you wanted to go for.
What's the funny part? Because it's an ancient disease that no one has had in years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I enjoy that part of it.
I was, like, legit, I pumped myself up for, like...
We've been knowing that your body has been killing you slowly and in a nondescript way for a long time. But there's no umbrella that, you know, you put that under a fun... There's no fun word for that.
I was building up for a bunch of, like fucking shit jokes.
Yeah,
like,
I know. You're a fucking shit child and you're full of feces, but there's no fun word for that.
I wasn't...
Well, you kind of said it.
It's shit baby. I guess. Or whatever. But, yeah.
But scurvy,
so, like,
though.
Now that I'm, like, dealing with, like, pirate shit, I'm, like... I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
The scurvy gout. Right. Did you see the insane announcements at Evo? Yes, we did.
Listen to this podcast.
Super big fighting cast.
Brig.
Where's everybody? Should there be a fighting game with everybody in it? Yes, there should.
Of course.
There should be a new fucking Virtual Fighter versus God, the Fighters Megamix. There should be a new Fighters Megamix.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that game.
Kenneth says there's a lot of games that are sent out too early being undercooked. Have you ever seen a game that's overcooked?
Overcooked.
Other than Duke Nukem Forever?
That doesn't even make sense. Well, that makes sense in that it was bloated and long.
Overcooked, like too many features? I don't know. I mean,
I think there's something.
Brawl was like insanely overcooked, and but it was perfect. And same for Kid Icarus Uprising. More features than you need, and it makes it a great game. I don't think it's ever resulted in bad things that I can think of. Feature creep is bad, though. Feature creep is really bad.
I remember, I think it's either MK9 or MK, I got it. Okay, go, MK9 go or MKX, where I was like, there's so much. I'm never going to get through it all.
I got it. Guilty Gear 2 Overture is overcooked.
Overcooked.
It's very overcooked.
That game is trying to do too many things, and thus it fails a little bit at all. Spectacularly at all of them. Yeah,
yeah. Would you say the Jurassic Park Trespasser was overcooked?
Jurassic Park Trespasser was also
undercooked.
Yeah.
Trespasser was burnt out of the oven. It was more than overcooked. Okay, Blake says, they're pretty okay buddies. It's come to my attention that the ever-consuming quest to find the perfect give-up machine has led another quantum leap. There's a virtual YouTuber named Kizuna AI. Yes, that's AI as in AI. And that does live casts and let's plays featuring a cute anime girl doing poses and providing...
She got the brown hair with the little...
That's the one. We've known about it for quite a while now. Channel can be found here. I understand that you'll need some time to cope with the fact that your career has now been rendered completely obsolete. I'm honestly more impressed...
Didn't expect this job to be taken over by robots.
Of Liam having the foresight to get out when the getting was good. Love you guys, Blake. This is something we've known about for a while. And I look at that and I go, yeah.
There's a market for that.
That's cute.
There's a place.
But how can a robot compete with this?
A robot can't fill itself with fecal matter.
As I point to myself. See? That, you know what? That's super not true at all.
Yeah, that's true.
A robot
can do that.
Can't unwillingly fill itself with fecal matter.
Yeah, you can. There's videos.
Unwillingly.
Just dumping a pile of shit into an
eyeball.
Yeah,
plus you just need like an arm that could put one object A into receptacle B. It's not that hard.
Just put a toilet on top of an Asimo. Yeah, there it is. There's an Asimo. That's the new robot you dump on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, a robot can't have existential crises.
But there's that
air.
Mall cop robot that killed itself. See that?
I didn't.
In some city, they instituted this mall cop robot, and it flung itself into the fucking fountain like 50 feet down and killed itself. It's great.
Oh, no!
So someone photoshopped this so that there's a Nier Automata robot. It's like, we are to become gods.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right. Dear Fooper Sest Breads, what's the worst dinner experience you've ever had?
could be experienced at home restaurant as long as it's two at the third meal of the day from a dude named Evan. I went to a wedding and the rice was poisoned.
I thought you were going to say the rice was overcooked.
And I became ill with food poisoning. And it was the kind that, like, even after it was passed from your body, the remnants continued. And food poisoning is the least fun thing you can experience based on food. And, yeah, that was the worst.
What's the worst dinner ever?
I'm trying to think, like, nothing bad enough that I'd even mention it. But, like, when I was, like, 10 or whatever, my parents took me to a Burger King for the first time. And you know when, like, you eat something and it's, like, it's fine and then you'll throw up or be sick later? You're like, maybe that was what I ate there, but it could be anything. Mm-hmm. When I ate at the Burger King, like, after, like, maybe 2 minutes of eating a burger, I started throwing up all over the fucking place. And that, like, stayed me off Burger King for, like, until I was an adult or whatever. And then I'm like, nah, man, just fucking eat this, like, whatever, dessert, whatever they got, or fries. And I was fine. But, like, I just remember being traumatized for a long, long time about
that. Well, taste and smell and bad food experiences are the most scarring things that it only takes one for you as a human to be aversive to that thing. The way your brain works is it'll basically go, that's poison to you, never touch it again. That helps you in the bush when you're surviving, hunting and gathering. And that's actually, like, a really interesting part where, like, anyone who's, like, picky about their food and what they're eating and stuff like that, oftentimes it takes one bad experience and then you'll never forget it.
We were hanging with little V Mills last night and he was like, I love rum. I had rum a few months ago, got really sick. I haven't touched it again. That's poison to me. Like, I'm not going to drink that again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when Leanna was in Vegas last year with some girlfriends, she just had a drink at one place. She was sick for like 3 days, like constantly throwing up. And she's like, I can't drink that. Like, that was a specific type of vodka. Never going to drink again because I'm so scared. It was probably just a bad batch or they did something. Yeah. But I'm never going to get near that shit.
The average teenager that fucking drinks until they get too sick to learn and then learn their limits or whatever will have a really bad night on tequila. And then there's how many people are like, oh my God, fuck tequila. The taste of it, the smell of it just makes me feel sick.
Get tequila away from me.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Tons of people.
And I never did that. I just had a couple drinks of tequila and got kind of hungover.
Tons of
people. Just couldn't deal with tequila ever again.
It's also because we get the cheap shit because it's literally the bottom of the barrel for us. So,
mine's slightly different. I didn't get ill, but I think the worst dinner time experience with food that I can remember is the very first time I got my braces tightened. As a young person, when I was like 13 or 14,
braces too.
You had braces as well.
Yeah. I do.
So we had not. They said, "Well, you're gonna have a hard time eating." So we decided we're gonna have something easy like hot dogs, right? I took a bite into my hot dog and recoiled with such pain, and had not managed to break the skin of the hot dog. Like, that's how sensitive everything in your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
As, like, when soft foods, they don't mean soft foods. Bread's too much.
They mean, like, liquids.
They mean yogurt.
Pouring it into your throat.
Eat your yogurt.
Pour it into your throat. Yeah.
It's mind-blowing how bad it hurts.
Yep.
It's crazy. It feels like your teeth are going to fall out, too. Like, the way they're being pulled. Ugh.
Man, just knock that shit out and get all fakes.
Well, that's extreme.
Don't got to worry about nothing after
that. Do you have all fake teeth?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
As someone who's had some of their teeth knocked out, man, that's not good.
Don't got to worry about shit. Just denture up.
Yeah, but then you got to worry about your dentures.
Yeah, drop that in the water, pop it in your mouth, get that goose face going. Yeah. If you feel like wearing a fucking blinged out, you know, you want to spell out Pat on your teeth, you can do that. And then
I have a terrible name for doing that because it's like asymmetric.
Yeah, you need four. You need
four letters.
FUCCBOIV. Yeah, maybe.
How's a barracuda do it?
And
yeah.
Last but not least,
I hate 10 a.m.
Skipping this one.
I think it's like the second one we've ever done.
Okay, here's a basic one that you guys can answer. Super Best Cheeky Boys.
I'm cheeky.
I have one cheek.
I've been playing a bunch of Fallout 4 recently until I rekindled my deep passion for Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
4 isn't a bad game in general, but I think most people can agree it isn't a good Fallout game.
That's correct.
Fallout is about role-playing, and Fallout 4 has removed almost every aspect to do that.
That is also correct.
From the voice protagonist to the pre-made background to the playable character, Bethesda seems to have forgotten what makes RPG so amazing. My question is, can you think of any other franchise that was bought by a separate company which then created it and had its qualities eroded away ever since?
There's probably actually too many
there's
to count.
Too many.
Forgetting. Not Dead Space doesn't really count in the sense that EA always owned it, but its quality degraded over time. Two is better
EA
than one.
EA the whole time, it was just development that moved around.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking of any, of like, hey, we bought this, now we're going to make a new one. And then you're like, hey, oh. And I know this has happened
over and over.
But I can't, like, usually the disappointment is they move development teams. Like, oh, so-and-so is working on this. And you go, oh, great. Oh,
well,
no.
It happened to burnout in the sense we bought this, we made a couple games, and then we bought it to not make them anymore and have that developer make Need for Speeds.
The old SNK, before SNK Playmore, was eroded away when they sold out to a bunch of pachinko fucking herders. And
pachinko herders.
It's like a Nerf herder.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. And they, they were like, yeah, fuck it. We'll just shit on all these characters you love to make a bunch of pachinko characters for a hot goof. And then eventually it got back when the SNK Playmore guy had to come back on the board of directors and then slowly create an uprising of moving in and replacing the pachinko fucks with legit fucks. And
I've got one that
and
Wooly,
then when Playmore established itself, then they went, all right, we're back to being SNK.
Yep. I've got one that Wooly will appreciate. Guitar Hero.
Yep, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
But that's not the company, though, because that's the brand, you know? Harmonix did stay as Harmonix. But
yeah, but they bought the game.
They bought the game. No, they're right, they bought the game.
They bought the series.
Bought the franchise.
Right. The company didn't... that's a good one.
I didn't like EA like buy Westwood or buy Bullfrog and then
that's the one
and
too.
And then they shut them down.
Yeah, Bullfrog.
Everything that
the Syndicate days that all that.
Oh my god,
shit.
Syndicate. I know that new Syndicate's okay, but it's not Syndicate.
Yeah, those days are gone.
What about Shadowrun?
Oh yeah, the fucking Microsoft one.
Remember that?
The fucking first-person shooter.
Remember that happening?
The required games for Windows Live paid.
Oh, yeah.
That fucking thing.
The one that you could play console to PC?
Yeah.
I did.
Holy shit.
I did a little bit of, not even testing, but it was just like little compliance filling out on that. I remember Shadowrun that one. Yeah, that box.
That game,
God.
Man. Oh, man.
All right.
Got the yawning.
There you go. I think there's a lot of that
we're
going
all dying.
On, but I think we're good.
I'm dead.
What's coming out? What are we looking forward to? I'm looking forward to. I could have said like my new gambling addiction, but it's like no, it's not true. But
you have a gambling addiction?
Not at all. But,
no, quite the
but
opposite.
The only time I ever do it and I've ever done it has been at Evo in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And this time around, after I got that double, I got those two black chips. I played the rest of the weekend, got to 450 up, popped a 50 on that, turned it into a light blue chip, dropped it on red, walked away with 1,000. Not doing bad. I got, for the first time, I think I'm like pretty decently up.
You should do, right?
You should double that. At the Montreal casino.
Yeah. You should stop.
Then, yeah.
and then when you win that, you know what you should do?
Yeah.
Put it all in the slots.
I've honestly, like the first year I came, I think I was down 200 when I left. Every other year I've been like, I haven't left down.
You got to come in willing to spend money.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Furthermore,
you need to then create that stopping point of like, well, that's the end of that.
You just need to know what's the farthest you can go to be a millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
how far you're
going. I told the story multiple times, but we got that friend that like went down. I think he lost 800 in an hour. Never gambled before and basically caught and realized what was happening by staring at his hands
shaking.
Went back to the room, pulled his DS out and went, I have a problem. I didn't know this about myself. And I will be
from that forever.
I will be here in the room if you need me for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, because Vegas is a problem.
It is.
If you have a gambling problem. Vegas is
dude, you want to get on the airplane to go back home?
Guess what?
Past those slot machines. Yeah.
The other big problem I want to talk about, just because you said something about it, what's our thing in January? It's cold out here. What do you start doing?
Taking damage.
Why? Because where are you located currently?
Surrounded by an environmental hazard that is known as
Fendrana
Drifts.
So when you're in Vegas, what's the opposite?
You're in Magmoor Caverns and you don't have your Varia suit.
So
when you're taking damage.
I didn't tell you this, but we went out for like maybe 15 minutes to go from point A to point B. And Leanna goes, I actually think I might be dying. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I can't breathe out here because... And I was like, oh, you're crazy. And then I walked maybe two more minutes, and then I started feeling it where I'm like, I need to get indoors now.
Well, you're in the fucking desert.
Because it's literal waves. Like, the air is attacking you.
Yeah. But then as soon as you walk inside, your life bar just goes, and you're back to fine.
Would you like some chips?
You're back to fine.
That's amazing. Yeah. What's coming up? Everything. Now that we're back, unfortunately, Billy is
not
available to edit, so we're going to have to be editing a few videos for the next week, I think.
Well, the combo was basically Pat was full of shit, and then we were gone. And we can account for one or two of those things, but then Billy also had to go see the fam for a while. So, yeah, we're fine. We'll figure it out. It's going to continue for a little bit, but we've got...
Because we haven't had an episode Walking Dead or Cat Lady in, like, a while, I think.
As we can only now record those things. So, yeah, that stuff continues. Is there anything coming out that is of note?
Splatoon 2 comes out this week. So
there you go.
And on that.
The Splatoon anime is happening. That's pretty true. Cool.
It's an online thing, though.
I think it's just a little mini thing. So that's fun.
But that's neat, though.
I guess... I'm going to be popping that first to five up on the channel, on Wooly Versus.
Said it would go up at 1, right?
No. The first to five, no.
Oh.
He said something about 1 p.m.
Something went up at 1 today.
Oh.
He doesn't know what, though.
I know what it is.
It's him not finding all the Funko Pops.
Is that what it is?
I believe that's what you implied that it was.
Yeah.
It's sort of that, but it isn't what you said.
Okay.
I
guess I'm crazy.
What else is up?
That's it.
Cool. You guys?
I'm looking forward to patch 4.05 for Final Fantasy. It's the raid stuff. So I've now no-lifed it to the point where I can now just settle into my weekly leg runs with my guys and play other games. I'm also going to be streaming FF12 this weekend. Zodiac over at Angriest Pad on Friday and Sunday. That 4x speed option is hilarious. It feels like you're playing a fucking emulator. It's really, really goofy how fucking fast it goes. Like, it looks broken. It's hilarious.
Matt?
I will be streaming Game Grumps' Dream Daddies on this Wednesday.
Are you going to make out with the one that looks like me?
Well, that guy's huge and like a football player, so
he looks
doesn't
like
look
me,
like
though.
You. There's a guy that looks
who's
more
your,
like Wooly.
Who's your
my
dad?
My dad, Sona.
Your dad, Sona.
I like the bad boy guy. Like the dark-skinned dude. It's kind of like a cool dude. I kind of like him. So I'm going to be playing that. I was talking to Vernon from Game Grumps because he was actually in the House of Blues in the Mandalay Bay while we were there. And
I didn't know that.
I was talking to him about Q&A.
Which makes sense because the Grumps were there doing their thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him about like being a QA tester. Yeah. I'm like, yo, my heart goes out for finding late game crashes in your game and having to make that decision to fucking delay the game. But it's coming out Wednesday, so I'm going to be streaming that on Matthew McMuscles.
I ran into someone who was like, hey, man, can I take a picture? I was like, yeah, cool. And it was like, hey, how was it opening for the Grumps this weekend? And I was like... Well, it was just so confusing to me because I was like, not only do we not do that, but like it sounded like a band opening for another band or like a comedian opening for another comedian.
Well, I did it.
Oh.
Because during grand finals, after I talked with Vernon, he like sent me a text. It's like, hey, do you want to spend 10 minutes doing this?
Oh, something did happen.
Yeah.
I just didn't know about it.
That was me playing 1-1 Super Mario Brothers blindfolded. And the crowd yells at you to jump when you're supposed to jump.
Okay, well, never mind then. That person wasn't crazy.
No, they weren't crazy.
I just didn't know what was happening.
Good job, Willie. I guess we're crazy, though.
Well, I can't know things that know I things. Don't know.
Yeah, all right. You don't know how bad that jury costume is.
How was that? Was that cool?
It went terribly.
Okay, how are they? They're cool?
Because what they do is they play Mario Party 10, and then every time there's a mini game coming up, they have a different fan come up on the stage and play the mini game.
Okay.
Then they recycle fans like to come in every time.
Gotcha.
The mini game.
Okay.
So very, very crowd interactive. Crowd mm-hmm. loved it. House of Blues is a cool place too.
Cool. Right on. Are you doing all right?
I'm seeing you failing to get the last Funko Pop, unfortunately.
Did they stab you with a syringe?
I'm just trying to ask.
Stab you with a Funko
Pop. I'm just trying to ask how Aaron and Danny are doing.
They're doing well.
Okay, that's good.
Do they know that Wooly didn't find the last Funko Pop?
Oh, you mean the lies that don't exist? Because there's not 20 of them? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, really.
So, look, we have to settle this right now. Full disclosure, we told Wooly.
And I knew. I'm like looking at that
We told Wooly.
It's impossible that number is real.
We told Wooly 20, and that I believe was Liam's idea. Like,
hard, big lies.
Tell him four more extra than there actually are for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Wooly has found a Funko Pop in this video. Unfortunately, he still has one missing.
I see. Right. And that's the truth?
That's the truth.
Okay. All right.
The one that you found in this video, I don't know about that one.
Okay.
So there's still one.
So it's
and you've double checked the previous findings?
Yes.
So you're certain?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know which one he hasn't found. It's that one.
Oh, do you know about
this?
There
was one Matt was particularly proud of.
I see. Gotcha. Okay.
He's right. Very proud of it.
Is that if you
had found it, you would have called it out specifically.
Yeah. So this wasn't one of your placements, basically.
That one in that video? No.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Good job not finding them all.
Well, you know.
It sucks, Pat, because you have
many
seen
long
it,
times are ahead.
Made
I believe
a whole
is what
victory animation and an end title card saying I did it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you were doing there? Because I'm like you're furiously flipping through that phone. So
yeah.
Oh, wow, you did it.
You did it.
This video has been invalidated within what fucking?
Guess what?
26.
Guess what?
Of its creation?
If I never find it, I did it.
That's not how.
No, that's exactly how it works. Fuck you.
Works.
Nope.
You
I
didn't
did it.
Win.
Nope. You didn't. You didn't I win. Won.
So what?
If I until another one exists, I found them all. I won.
So that means if, say, in a year or two or three, when you're moving, right, you fucking find it. Do you retroactively lose for that length of time and then re-win?
No.
No?
No.
No, wait, no, what happens
this is
then?
Like Pat logic. You're
it's,
yeah.
It's just, it's another win. It's a bonus win.
It's a bonus win.
Bonus win. It's a win on top of win.
You have a bonus win, you fucking dipshit. That's
wins.
Fucking lies.
Already
wins
won.
All the time for you.
All I do is win, no matter what.
You're just mad that you made a victory animation, like, too early.
I won that shit. It's done.
You won nothing!
I won hard.
You won bullshit!
I won hard. I found the lies. I found the truths. It's
you
over.
You got the win, Golgi.
So, no,
it's
what,
over.
What actually is, the reason he's saying he won is because he doesn't believe you or I that there's another one.
I wouldn't go to these lengths if it was
like,
I wouldn't be bullshit.
He's
at this
certain
point.
That we're trying to fuck with him, but there is another one.
And if then and until that another one makes itself certain, until it makes itself known.
Okay, let's
no, 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 it's no, it's no, no, no. If you're saying dead serious right now, there's another one.
Yes.
Then perhaps, but it doesn't mean I didn't
not
win.
Perhaps.
I still won.
No. Shut up. Listen,
I won.
Look at me. You might have won the main campaign, but there's still a DLC campaign you haven't finished yet.
I found all the ones that I found, and out of the ones that I found them all. So I won.
60% of the time, he won every time.
The champion. The fucking champion. Victory lap.
So that's...
All right.
All right, see you next
all
week,
right,
folks.
Bye, I guess, whatever.